Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. That's the Basilica in Washington, D.C., the location for the Pope's private meeting and prayer service with bishops from all across the United States. He's been getting a tour of the church and looks out across pews full of men dressed in black with red caps and sashes. Earlier, it was the pomp and ceremony of his meeting with the president and the motorcade surrounded by thousands of people.
Just seeing the Pope for maybe 10 seconds, sitting surrounded by bulletproof glass as he turned to his left, then to his right, always waving, had the effect of making grown people giddy. This man immediately phoned his daughter at school.
She's 17, same birthday as the Pope.
You know, were you more than satisfied?
Well, I was absolutely satisfied. In fact, I went to the Vatican last year, and I didn't get to see the Pope, but today I did.
So he came to you.
Excellent. Yes, he did.
With perfect, you might say, infallible weather, tens of thousands who'd lined the road to see the Pope go by were left smiling. Dan Revive, CBS News on Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington.
President Bush says the nation has a new goal for fighting the overheating of the planet with human effluent.
Today I'm announcing a new national goal to stop the growth of U.S. greenhouse gas emissions by 2025.
Environmental groups reacted with a quick, not nearly good enough, unless more is done by this nation and even more by China. They say the world may tip to an unstoppable and unlivable greenhouse. States with death row inmates waiting for their date with the lethal needle are setting the schedules now that the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled Kentucky's formula for the injection is not cruel and unusual punishment.
Even though it's not one of those landmark decisions, it is a defeat for opponents of capital punishment who hope that the court would force prison officials all over the country to improve their execution methods to make them much more professional and humane.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen. Students, family, and faculty all wept together as the awful memory of barking handguns and fellow students running in panic were brought back to them all at today's memorial at Virginia Tech. It has been 1 year since the massacre that left 32 dead, plus the disturbed student, of course, who killed himself when he was done. You know, you can't get any safer than 100%. No one died on a scheduled U.S. airline flight in 2007. That's according to the National Transportation Safety Board. In private planes, which made up far more individual flights than the airlines, there were only 491 deaths, the lowest in 40 years. Here's a quick comparison. Nearly 4,000 people drowned. 12,000 died of poisoning. And, of course, the usual 40,000-plus died on the highways. On Wall Street, the Dow soared almost 257 points. NASDAQ gained 64. Oil, nearly $115 a barrel, up another dollar. This is CBS News.
Like everyone, I have a medical history. But unlike most people's, mine is always working for me.
Aetna's personal health record provides our members with secure, anytime access to their medical histories. It automatically scans test results, diagnoses, and new prescriptions, and compares them to the latest medical findings.
It alerted me to important information I shared with my doctors.
We want you to know. Aetna. The personal health record is offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company. The Aetna personal health record should not be used as the sole source of information about the member's health conditions or medical treatments. Available information on test diagnoses and prescriptions may vary by member.
Anyone who's ever wrenched on their car wants the best available parts. For starters and alternators, it's Remy. These are the same guys who kept the world running for 100 years. At Advanced Auto Parts, we're here to keep your car running for 100 more. That's why we started stocking Remy. So no matter what you've got going on under the hood, replacing a starter or swapping out an alternator, you'll be doing it with top-notch parts, period. So whatever you're working on, Advance will help you keep the wheels turning. Advance Auto Parts. Keep the wheels turning.
Computer simulations are the hot thing lately. CBS's Jim Taylor tells us they've been around for a while.
No monsters. No guns, no explosions, but incredibly popular, The Sims has now sold more than 100 million units. It is the world's best-selling computer game. Sims players can build entire cities or just neighborhoods, manipulating Sims characters to do whatever, like this couple in the backseat of a car. In a marketplace dominated by boys and young men they become, 60% of those who play Sims games are women, published in 60 countries and 22 languages. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
A Ferris wheel is being put up for auction in California. The 9 stories tall wheel has about 5,400 light bulbs. You have probably seen this one in movies. The wheel from the Santa Monica Pier is to be replaced by a modern one. The Pacific Wheel, said to be in great working order, the minimum bid will be $50,000, with half the proceeds going to Special Olympics. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
At Mercedes-Benz, we've recently engineered a great new way for you to own a Mercedes-Benz. It's called the Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned Event. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz features an extensive 155-point inspection and lifetime roadside assistance, so you know it's all Mercedes-Benz through and through. Get limited-time financing now through April 30th. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes dealer, it's not a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz.
See dealer for complete details on warranty coverage and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
There's the jackrabbit, the whale song, and the symphony. There's an art to honking. Unfortunately, it doesn't actually reduce traffic. But CSX trains can help. By moving millions of tons of freight on our rails, we're relieving congestion on the highways every day. And that means you'll hear a little less of this. Go to CSX.com to learn more. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, a fresh edition just for your consumption. We've got a lot to talk about, great people to talk with, including you. You can call in anytime, 888-5-PETER-B. That's a toll-free number. We pay for your call, 888-573-8372. Paul Waldman from Media Matters will be with us in a moment here to talk about Bitter, Elite, and, there's a debate in Philadelphia tonight. Later this hour, Bruce Fein, an actual Republican, joins us on the program. He served in the Justice Department during the Reagan years, also as a counsel at the FCC, and he was part of the Ken Starr impeachment team against Bill Clinton in the late 90s. He's now fighting for the Constitution. We're going to talk with him about the admissions from Bush and other top officials at the White House that they personally authorized torture. Of course, they don't call it that because we don't torture, you know. We have tortured the language so that we can say we don't torture. Next hour, my attorney, Carl Mayer, will join us. He represents me and thousands of others in a class action suit against AT&T and other telephone companies for intercepting our communications on behalf of the Bush administration. And we're going to talk about what appears to be the... I'm hedging here because the Republicans say that they have given up on trying to jam through the amended FISA bill with the bad language from the Senate that would immunize the telephone companies. And for now, there appears to be no movement, and no movement is very good. But we'll talk with Carl Mayer about the status and whether the proposed reforms to FISA in the Senate bill would sink the lawsuits that we are a part of, and there are other lawsuits pending, to try to ferret out the information about the breadth and depth of this illegal surveillance of American citizens. Also on our program today, Frank DiBernardo joins us. He's Executive Director of New Ways Ministry, and they are Catholic gay lesbians, and we're going to find out how they're welcoming the Pope. And he, of course, before he became the Pope, was a point man for John Paul II and was very tough on gays and lesbians. So we'll be talking about that. And if it all works out, in our third hour today, we're going to bring you the live audio from the debate in Philadelphia with commentary from me and Cliff Schechter. Cliff's new book is called The Real McCain. He's been on our program, quite a bit, but over the last few weeks you've heard him. And we're going to offer some concise and pithy commentary as the debate rolls on from Philadelphia. That's if we get all the technical things to work out, so stay tuned and see if that happens. Joining me now is Paul Waldman, a fellow at the Media Matters for America organization. They're on the web at mediamatters.org. And he and David Brock have co-authored the new book about John McCain and the media called Free Ride. Hello, Paul. How are you doing today?
Good, dear. How are you?
I'm a little elite and a little bitter. I'm just not sure in which order.
Wait a minute. You're not supposed to be bitter if you're the elite.
I can be if I want to be.
I guess that's true. If you're elite, you can be whatever you want.
But I promise not to embrace God, guns, or anything else as a result of my bitterness. I might embrace a little Merlot. Or another fine California Pinot or something like that. It's fascinating to see how this episode originated from a blogger at the Huffington Post, an avowed Obama supporter. And she was at this Tony Pacific Heights, that's the old money part of San Francisco, fundraiser for Obama. And she was permitted to be there. She was permitted to record it. Other people apparently did. And she seems as surprised as anybody else that she is a part of this, what has now become a major story. And it boggles my mind that this is major, Paul.
Well, it's not too surprising. I think that what's really of interest here is the way that the press just jumped all over this. Because, to tell you the truth, I think that they are the real elitists in this story. What you find is that the reporters are always eager to find some occasion to show that Democrats in particular, it never seems to happen to Republicans, but the Democrats in particular are a bunch of elitists who can't connect with ordinary people. And so what you have then is they fan out to try to find people who will, ordinary people who will give them quotes to reiterate that the Democrats really don't connect and that they're just not down with the regular folks. You never hear those questions asked about Republicans. And there's certainly plenty of occasions for it. Just let me give you one example. The other day, John McCain gave a speech on the economy where he said he wanted to have a holiday from the gas tax, which is 18.4 cents a gallon. Mm-hmm. Now, if your car holds 15 gallons and you fill up your tank, that means you'll get $2.76 from a fill-up.
Right.
Now, John McCain thinks that $2.76 is going to give you a real boost in the arm and improve your economic fortunes. Now, you could easily describe that as elitist, or you could talk about the fact that his wife, Cindy, is worth $100 million, mm-hmm. and they have a $4.5 million condo in Phoenix and a $2 million estate in Sedona and a couple of other houses, too. You could talk about that and ask whether that makes John McCain elitist. But those questions aren't even asked about Republicans. It's only the Democrats about whom reporters ask these questions.
And isn't it fair to say that anybody who rises to the level of the United States Senate is, by definition, a member of the elite in this country? I mean, there are only 100 members. It's a club. And all three presidential candidates standing today are members of that elite group. How can one point a finger at the other and say, you're elitist?
Well, they certainly are. Again, I think that it's particularly galling, I think, coming from members of the media who themselves are make so much money and yet are so interested in posing as the kind of tribune of the masses. You know, I did a column for the American Prospect this week about specifically about Chris Matthews and Tim Russert and Bill O'Reilly, those guys who are always trying to convince you that they're just the regular Joes, that they're not, you know, that they don't earn millions of dollars, that they're really in touch with regular folks, and they're just blue-collar guys, and they are rejected by those elites when, you know, the truth is that those are the circles they run in. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with the fact that, you know, Tim Russert and Chris Matthews both have houses on Nantucket. But there's something that's, frankly, pretty annoying about them always trying to convince us that they're regular guys.
Indeed. You know, what you hear from Tim Russert is his roots from Buffalo, and of course he wrote a book about his dad, and that underscores kind of like John Edwards' story about his dad, the mill worker. And, you know, we see it almost in every case where Chris Matthews, particularly now with the Pennsylvania primary so significant, every night he's telling us, you know, about his experiences as a Pennsylvanian. His brothers live there, and he mentions them and tells us what their attitudes are. And it was interesting because in the Hardball College Tour, which was broadcast last night from Villanova, he kept, you know, threatening to ask tough questions of Senator McCain and then didn't. He said, okay, the first one's really tough. And it, you know, wasn't that difficult. But it was interesting because McCain threw Matthews off there right at the beginning by trying to slide in a joke about his favorite Philly cheesesteak shop. And clearly McCain had rehearsed that. It was scripted, and he was trying to insert it, and Matthews, in his type A kind of bulldog mode, wasn't really ready for that setup.
Yeah, and people who have long memories may remember that this was something that tripped up John Kerry, and this is a perfect example of the kind of attitude that reporters have. Now, John Kerry, when he was campaigning in Pennsylvania, went, as many people do, to go get a cheesesteak, I believe at Pat's. Now, there's the two biggest cheesesteak places in Philadelphia are kitty corner to each other, Pat's and Geno's. And if you're not from Philadelphia, you don't know the proper way to order or what is considered appropriate ordering, and John Kerry ordered cheesesteak with Swiss cheese. Now, the reporters all jumped on this and said, oh, look at that. See how disconnected he is from regular people. Well, no, it didn't mean that he was disconnected from regular people. It just means that he's not from Philly and that his advanced people didn't do a good job of explaining to him that he should have ordered it with Cheese Whiz. Mm-hmm. Now, then you had George Bush get up at a rally not long after and said, by the way, I order my cheesesteaks with, which means with Cheese Whiz and onions. Mm-hmm. And everyone laughed and roared, and he knew, of course, that meant that the reporters would then go back and explain this to people by relaying the story of John Kerry being so out of touch that he ordered a cheesesteak with Swiss cheese.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, George Bush doesn't eat cheesesteaks, and he only knew that because somebody told him. So it doesn't actually show you anything. What it shows you is that reporters are constantly looking for ways that they can explain that Democrats are out of touch and don't know anything about regular people and are these elitists who look down on all of us. But, you know, the real elitists, frankly, are the journalists. They're the ones who treat ordinary people as though they're some sort of alien species who are supposed to, like, embody virtue. And, they don't actually, most of them, come from regular people. They just have this sort of idealized notion of what a regular person is. And part of it, frankly, is that they're simpletons who, if they see that Barack Obama's not a good bowler, are not going to vote for him. That's why they obsessively cover those things. I mean, I can't tell you how many times Chris Matthews returned to the fact that Obama's not a good bowler and used that as evidence that he wasn't going to be able to connect with people and get the votes of working-class people because he's not a good bowler.
Maureen Dowd in the Times today brought that up again. She talked about growing up in Pennsylvania in a home with guns and the Catholic faith, and that she's got a bowling trophy, one of her most prized possessions. I'm sorry, this doesn't have diddly to do with the war in Iraq, our economic meltdown, the crisis in housing, and the lack of health insurance for 47, 48 million American citizens. But we're being distracted into these really trivial sideshows, Paul, and it's really frustrating me, and if they don't stop, I think I'm about to become bitter.
Yeah, and that Dowd column was a classic because she starts off by talking about, oh, my dad was a cop and I've got a bowling trophy, as though somehow if she can establish her blue-collar credentials, then that means that she's not a member of the elite either, despite the fact that she's a columnist for the New York Times, which is about as elite as it gets.
And a major fashion plate, too.
and that therefore her kind of snarky, contemptuous attack on Barack Obama for being too much of an elitist is okay because she has established her blue-collar credentials.
Yeah. We'll continue in a moment with Paul Waldman from Media Matters. You can grab the paperback, Free Ride, John McCain and the Media, co-authored by Waldman and David Brock. More in a moment. Your calls are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B. And you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, You need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests, and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark LeCluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark LeCluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm talking with Paul Waldman from MediaMatters.org, co-author of the new book, Free Ride, John McCain and the Media. And, Paul, one more thing about McCain and Chris Matthews, who we were talking about in the previous segment. As I mentioned, Matthews got an exclusive interview with McCain. He staged it at Villanova University. And one of the interesting things that I noticed was I believe it was a student who raised a question about the White House torture policy. And McCain gave an excellent answer about how, under his administration, no one would be tortured. He was unequivocal about it. It was very powerful and quite convincing. And Chris Matthews did not ask the obvious follow-up, which is, well, why did you sell out to the White House? And after lobbying publicly and being arm-twisted by Dick Cheney, you permitted the president to essentially obliterate the amendment that you had attached to, I think it was the 05, supplemental December of 05, and you have remained silent about the way the White House sold out your position, undermined it, and just left you twisting in the wind.
Yeah, when John McCain talks about torture, he's very eloquent. And he says that the United States can't torture, and it does us more harm than good, and damages our image in the world, all of which is true. But then when you look at what he actually did when he had this fabled confrontation with the Bush administration, you're absolutely right. He caved. And that's not the way it was portrayed in the press, of course. They said that Bush blinked and McCain won because he was so noble. And it was really especially disappointing coming from somebody who had, in fact, been tortured. But what happened was the compromise that they worked out on whether or not the president was going to have to abide by the Geneva Conventions basically gave Bush all the permission he needed to not abide by those conventions whenever he felt that he didn't want to, because it gave him the permission to interpret them any way the president would like to interpret them. And he also issued one of his famous signing statements, which is where he basically says, I'm signing this law, but I have no intention of obeying it, that reiterated that.
Mm-hmm.
And McCain didn't say a word.
Right. And the context was he'd been accused of being joined at the hip with Bush. It was in a comment that came from Joe Biden in a Keith Olbermann interview yesterday. And he was trying to offer ways in which he's different from the White House. But he didn't bother to mention the details of the differences on torture. He simply articulated his position. Paul, I want to return to the issues of bitter and elite and the way the media has portrayed San Francisco. With dangerous liberals out here.
This following program is dedicated to the city and people of San Francisco.
Lattes.
Who may not know it, but they are beautiful.
Breeze.
So is their city.
Volvos.
This is a very personal song.
Birkenstocks.
So if the viewer cannot understand it, particularly those of you who are European residents,
crystals.
Save up all your bread and fly Translove Airways to San Francisco, USA. Then maybe you'll understand the song. It will be worth it. If not for the sake of this song, but for the sake of your own peace of mind.
Thank you, Eric. So, it always amuses me, and it's hard, Paul Waldman, for me here in the Bay Area to measure how effective it is when people run against San Francisco. And this started with Mondale and Ferraro. The 84 convention was held here, and so the Republicans wrapped them in San Francisco's pro-gay, tolerant values, its liberalism, and all that stuff. And with Nancy Pelosi, the speaker, originating from San Francisco, it's now a pretty common target. And I'm curious, from your perspective, how effective is this hit on Obama when it is packaged as something that happened in San Francisco?
I think it does enhance the effectiveness of it, and it certainly enhances the media's eagerness to jump on it. And you know, you're right. It has been something that Republicans have used to attack Democrats with. And frankly, what it meant the first time that Gene Kirkpatrick said it at the Republican convention in 1984, and what it still means today, is gay. That's what the subtext is. That they're but I mean, even larger than that, it's supposed to be a stand-in for a whole set of kind of dangerous, un-American, morally relativistic values.
Mm-hmm.
And the press loves to highlight Republicans saying that. It's part and parcel of their whole kind of larger thing that we talked about before, or alluded to, that they sort of elevate the people who live in small towns in the middle of the country as more American than the rest of us. And if you live in Nebraska, that means you're more of an American than somebody who lives in New Jersey or somebody who lives in California. You see that coming through in the reporting of that comes from the elite Washington-based reporters all the time, that they are very receptive to those arguments and eager to repeat them and talk all about how that's where the real Americans are, with real values, and somehow that if you're in a small town, you have more virtue just by virtue of coming from a small town than if you come from a city or you come from the coasts.
Here's $5. Barack holds no further fundraisers in Pacific Heights. Probably learned his lesson. A bitter one. Thank you very much, Paul. We'll talk to you again real soon.
My pleasure.
Visit MediaMatters.org. Great website. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments, providing a unique perspective to investors for over 50 years. Franklin Templeton Investments gained from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood. Soaring food and fuel prices have strained food aid budgets of humanitarian aid groups around the world. What this means is that most countries are getting 40% less food for the same contribution, and more than 100 million people are now under severe stress because of it. The United States accounts for the majority of the food distributed around the world, feeding one out of every two recipients. The Bush administration is now proposing that 25% of the food aid money we spend be used for local procurement in other countries to encourage small-scale farmers. That doesn't seem like a good idea to American farmers, since more than half of the food the United States exports is purchased from them. More on that after this.
Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, is proud to present the Peerless Diamond, the ideal ideal-cut diamond.
That's Jared!
The precision of the cut brings out the beauty of the diamond. That's why, since its creation almost 90 years ago, the Ideal Cut has been celebrated for its ability to bring out a diamond's radiance and fire. And the spectacular Peerless Diamond, available exclusively at Jared, represents the best of its kind. See for yourself why it's the ideal Ideal Cut diamond.
It can only be Jared!
Hey, Mom, is this what you're looking for?
Tiger Balm, yes, perfect. Keeps your father off the IR.
IR?
Injured reserve. Tiger Balm keeps his muscles loose and pain-free.
So he can play basketball and run.
And do the yard work.
I don't think he knows about that.
Oh, he will.
Tiger Balm ointments, rubs, and patches give long-lasting relief to you or someone you care about. Got pain? Get Tiger Balm today. Available in stores everywhere. Tiger Balm works where it hurts.
At the International Food Aid Conference in Kansas City, Josette Schirren, the executive director of the World Food Program, said that impoverished regions of the world have to be encouraged to develop their own agriculture rather than depend so much on the United States. The so-called cash option to use contributed money and U.S. aid funds to buy food elsewhere isn't popular with American farmers. Traditionally, about 6% of the nation's wheat crop has gone for food aid purchases. Mark Keenum, an undersecretary of agriculture, told the meeting in Kansas City that food aid is the most visible demonstration of the goodwill of the American people. Last year, the United States sent 2.5 million tons of food aid, valued at $2 billion. But because of the high prices of food and fuel, the actual tonnage was down 16% from the year before. In other words, we're spending more but delivering less. Whether Congress will go along with this idea of spending 25% of our food aid to buy food elsewhere remains to be seen. Some in Congress see food aid exports principally as a boon to our own farmers. It's sure to come up in the summer of our election. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Looking for ways to improve and beautify your landscape with sound environmental practices and enjoy seasonal produce from your own land? Well, Tree of Life Ecological Services offers landscaping and design to suit your specific garden needs, large or small. Contact Tree of Life Ecological Services at treeoflifees.com or call 831-566-EDEN. That's 566-3336.
If you love KRXA 540, show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Last week, ABC News, to their credit, broke the story that they've confirmed that a group called the Principals Committee met at the White House and approved the torture techniques applied to certain detainees. And then we learned the president approved.
My head just drained.
Well, it's a great song from Midnight Oil, but it's a concept I don't subscribe to. My country, right or wrong? Well, when my country's wrong, it is my duty as an American citizen to speak up, to express my dissent. And that's what I do with this radio program on a daily basis. It keeps me out of very expensive psychotherapy. And it's something that I feel is in particularly sharp focus now. As I referenced last week, ABC News reported to us that at the White House in 2002-2003, there were a series of meetings by a group called the Principals Committee. These are members of the National Security Council. They were led by National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice. It included the Vice President, Richard Cheney, or Cheney, as he sometimes refers to himself, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of State Colin Powell. And remember that. Colin Powell has a halo around his head because he has parted from the Bush administration, and he has, at least indirectly through Lawrence Wilkerson, acknowledged that he has deep regrets about his speech in February of 2003 to the United Nations, which was used to propel us into the Iraq War. Other members of the Principals Committee approving the torture techniques, George Tenet, CIA director at the time, and Attorney General John Ashcroft, who deserves a partial halo because he is one of the few who has spoken up at least on occasion and opposed the power grabs and the unconstitutional behavior of the administration in which he served. It's a matter of degree, but in that degree, I put John Ashcroft just a half a notch up above Condoleezza Rice, because at least he had questions and doubts and expressed them. And on that fateful day when he was in the hospital so ill that he'd passed off his duties to his deputy, and he got that visit from Andrew Card and Alberto Gonzalez saying, hey, just sign this, would you? And I will always respect John Ashcroft for refusing. There's not much else I respect him for. But in this case, I'd say he earns some respect. We're looking for Bruce Fine, who's scheduled to join us during this portion of the program. Not sure we'll connect with him. He's been on our show many times and offers a powerful voice for restoration of constitutional values in this country. He and Bob Barr, a conservative Republican, former congressman from Georgia, formed the American Freedom Agenda. The only Republican candidate who would sign on to their Bill of Rights or their Bill of Particulars was Ron Paul. And if you go to their website, I believe it's AmericanFreedomAgenda.org or .com, you'll be able to read for and understand this is coming from conservative Republicans. But if you read it, no matter how left you are, you'll find you're in agreement. They want to end the use of signing statements, close Gitmo, end the illegal domestic wiretapping, and require the next president to submit to the Constitution and congressional oversight, as was intended and was the practice until the arrogant Bushites took office. So I find this interesting and troubling all at the same time, because what we saw last week in the reports and then the late Friday admission from the president that, yes, he knew the work of this Principals Committee and he approved of it, it raises numerous questions. For example, is there an executive order from the president delegating the authority that he claims, and it was claimed in the John Yoo torture memos, that he has powers as commander-in-chief and powers derived from the authorization post 9/11 and the October 2002 authorization to invade Iraq, that when you roll all those together, Bush has unlimited powers? I don't agree with that, but that's the assertion they've made. Now, in what manner do they delegate those powers to a group like the Principals Committee? Well, as Jason Leopold told us when he reported yesterday, in the documents that he has been reviewing, he saw a reference from an FBI agent who sent a memo because he was concerned about the interrogation techniques being used at Guantanamo Bay, at Abu Ghraib in Iraq. And this memo was dated May 2004. And in it, it refers to an executive order that we have never seen, and we have no proof it exists. It is probably top secret. Here's a quote from that FBI email. I have been told that all interrogation techniques previously authorized by the executive order are still on the table, but that certain techniques can only be used if very high-level authority is granted. Now, we also learned from General Hayden, in his testimony earlier this year, about the waterboarding of KSM, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and two others, which they claim is the only time they've used it, and now it's part of the past. We learned in that episode that when these detainees were being harshly interrogated, that there was direct communication with Washington, and that explicit authorization for individual techniques was issued to the interrogators. But we were not told who was the authority issuing those instructions. Well, we now conclude that the authority came from the Principal's Committee. And I can only infer that the executive order referred to in the FBI email is the legal mechanism used to transfer the authority claimed by the President to this Principal's Committee. And these are smoking guns. This is clear evidence of the intentional, repeated lawbreaking conducted by this administration with the flimsy excuse that it's all designed to make you and me safer. And what's infuriating, as Marjorie Cohn, the constitutional lawyer and president of the National Lawyers Guild, told us on the program the other day, is that language in the Military Commissions Act that was jammed through the Congress just in front of the election in the fall of 2006, that's the one I refer to as the Joe Stalin Detention, Interrogation, and Kangaroo Court Act of 2006, the Military Commissions Act, it includes a clause that immunizes the Principal's Committee, not by name, but it immunizes those who authorized enhanced interrogation. And so Bush and Rice and Cheney and Rumsfeld and Powell and Tenet and Ashcroft can all thumb their noses at us and our silly little Constitution because they are beyond the reach of the statutes. What they are not beyond the reach of is impeachment. I would have to say that Ashcroft, Tenet, Powell, and Rumsfeld can't be impeached because they don't currently hold office. But Rice can be impeached as Secretary of State. Yes, she can. Cheney can be impeached. I think we know that. And yes, Bush could be impeached, even at this late date. And they have now supplied the evidence that could not be clearer. And what have you heard about this? You've heard exchanges of bitter and elite. Now, to his credit, and I thank a listener who emailed me with this yesterday, Barack Obama addressed the question of culpability by Bush administration officials and said that he would ask his attorney general to look into allegations of illegal behavior by predecessors, should he become president. I'm encouraged by that. I'd like to hear it a little more explicit. I'm also encouraged that yesterday Senator Clinton offered a laundry list of things she would do upon taking office, and it included closing Guantanamo Bay. I believe she referred to ending the NSA eavesdropping program. And she talked in general terms about returning to the realm of the Constitution. And so I do believe the Democrats understand these issues. But in the Philadelphia debate tonight, Will there be a discussion of what I'm talking about right now, the president and the principals committee's admissions? But yeah, we authorized torture, so? What are you going to do? Impeach me? And here's something very interesting. Robert Greenwald of Brave New Films, he's been on our program many times. And a group of others, I'm not on the right screen right now. After I play the commercial, I'll go back to the other screen and tell you the other parties involved in this. But unless ABC has a change of heart, we believe right after the televised debate, this is the first primetime network debate, they've all been on cable, following the ABC debate, this commercial will be broadcast. And I think that it's beautifully done. It's not heavy-handed. It states the case. And it says, Condi must go. If you want to see it for yourself, go to YouTube.com and enter Condi must go. Or go to the website, Condi must go. I believe it's .com, and I'll check that for you again in just a moment. Here's the audio from that commercial.
The United States doesn't and can't condone torture.
A major news outlet reported that the president's top advisors personally approved specific interrogation methods.
Top secret meetings were held in the White House.
It was a torture program and approved at the very highest level.
Pictures of Abu Ghraib.
Rice personally told the CIA, "This is your baby. Go do it."
Torture and conspiracy to commit torture are crimes under U.S. law.
TrueMajority.org, U.S. Action, and Brave New Films are responsible for the production. I'm guessing it's True Majority that has the political action committee that will pay ABC to run the commercial. Let me know your thoughts about this. I have lines open right now. I think Bruce Fine's not going to be able to join us today, and I'm sorry about that. He's a powerful voice from the other side of the political aisle. But let me know your thoughts and why the media is not seizing on this story for the importance that it offers. And maybe ABC for... its own ego reasons will actually feature this in the debate tonight, because that way they can promote their network as the network that broke this story. And if they do that without too much patting themselves on the back, I'll be okay with it. If they leave it out, I'll really be upset. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Let me know your thoughts about who authorized the torture and what we should do about it. This program is produced in San Francisco by the able Katrina Rill, who's here taking your calls today at 888-5-PETER-B. And I remain your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's A Pizza Paradise, where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Good vibrations.
Cornerstone Wellness Center in Monterey specializes in reducing stress and pain naturally for you, your children, and even your pets. With 8 professionals, including a doctor of osteopathy, techniques like quantum biofeedback, homeopathy, infrared and ozone steam saunas, and lymphatic drainage are used to help rid your body of toxins, which can cause disease. I'm Sheila Gale, and I've lived with chronic pain for years. Trina Hammack uses state-of-the-art quantum biofeedback and Rolf structural integration. I feel better physically and mentally. Cornerstone also offers ionic foot baths, massage, organic microcurrent facials, and the latest in body strengthening and corrective exercise specifically designed for your body so you'll start living pain-free. Tired of taking medicines? Cornerstone uses homeopathy and top-of-the-line essential oils. Finally, an alternative that really works is here for your entire family. Cornerstone Wellness Center at 1088 Cass Street in Monterey. Call 373-6204. 373-6204.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the most.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast, and I'm inviting you to join me Sundays starting February 10th to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last, right here on KRXA 540. What you knowin'?
Ladies and gentlemen, we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, sponsored by Polly Point Press and John Gorenfeld's new book, Bad Moon Rising, all about Reverend Moon and the Washington Times propaganda sheet. Visit thekingofamerica.com and watch the video. It's free.
People shuffling their feet. People sleeping in their shoes.
Minutes in front of the hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, up and down the left coast and streaming, screaming all across America at peterbcollins.com. Hey, do you know about our podcasts? Yeah, you can catch any hour of the program, and it's trimmed of the commercial breaks, so it makes it real easy to hear it all in 41 or 42 minutes. That's the actual content that we give you every hour. Hope that doesn't shock you too much. But it's a great way to listen on your own time whenever you want to access a program. Just go to Peter B. Collins.com. The links are on the homepage. And now we have a new service for people who want to catch our program using your cell phone. It's called phoneshow.com. F-O-N-E. Phoneshow.com. And when you get to the homepage, click on radio shows and then scroll down to find Peter B. Collins. And if you subscribe, what happens is every time we post a new clip, and there's one going up tonight, you'll get an email that says, alert, there's a new audio file from the Peter B. Collins Show. And there's a hot link for you there, and it connects up to the audio over your cell phone, and it's a great way to keep up with great segments of the Peter B. Collins Show. So check that out at phoneshow.com. Lines open if you want to comment at 888-5 Peter B. And we've got Richard in Santa Cruz. Thanks for calling, Richard.
Peter B., how are you today?
I'm doing pretty well, thanks.
I think we're at a dead end on this impeachment, but I would like to see a movement in this country about war crimes, and I think Virginia has already a couple of cities in, I believe it was Virginia, has initiated something. But, you know, if these guys, if this administration could never leave the country and then maybe city by city were to deem these guys war criminals, they may, the Bush may have to go down to South America to live.
Yeah. Well, Richard, I certainly want full accountability, and I don't want to let these guys and Condi off the hook. I also don't want to give you blue sky that this would be easy or in any way prompt. Marjorie Cohn, the constitutional lawyer, was on our program the other day, and we broached this a little bit. And what she told us is that, you know, under the universal jurisdiction, of war crimes treaties that we could hope to see these people indicted in other countries.
Right.
But as we saw with Pinochet and other abusers of human rights, while you can sometimes get an indictment and even get a trial, it's very difficult to win a conviction, and there's a great deal of benefit of the doubt, I think, that devolves to people when they've left office. So, again, I want to pursue every available remedy, but I don't want to give people false hope that we're going to see Bush and the gang behind bars anytime soon.
Well, at least maybe in our lifetime, maybe the World Court in The Hague, you know, and this is why these guys wanted to disband these treaties, is because of this very reasoning. I mean, and John McCain, you know, one of the things about John McCain that people should realize also, probably these 95 or 98 U.S. attorneys are going to be staying in their positions, you know, if he is if he's elected. I mean, this is serious stuff.
Well, honestly, even when you go from an administration of one party to an administration of the same party, there usually is a mass replacement of the U.S. attorneys. It's not guaranteed, doesn't have to happen, but
right.
That is the protocol. And we hope, I mean, it's we get into darkness here thinking about a McCain presidency. But if it does occur, I'm not sure that he would keep all those U.S. attorneys.
Well, keep up the good work, Peter. I'll let somebody else get on the air.
I appreciate your call. Dave in Eureka is back. Hello, Dave.
Well, yes, it is Dave from Eureka, but again in San Francisco, where I can't listen to you live, and I'm missing it immensely, but I'm at the VA hospital being reassembled.
Everything going okay?
Yes, excellent. Wonderful, wonderful program, wonderful staff here. But my main issue is that, you know, impeachment, even to the deadline, should happen. It puts those people that are, for whatever reason, opposed to holding accountable criminals that have done so much to this country, it puts them out in front street. They have to electronically vote and say, no, I don't want to hold them accountable, or yes, I do, and I think that should be done. It should also be a lesson to those forever after that if you pull this kind of craziness to the detriment of this country, at least some will try to hold you accountable for it.
Yeah. What do you think about Obama's remarks? They're not detailed, but he does say that he would instruct his attorney general to, I think he said, take a look. I'd like to hear a word like fully investigate charges of lawbreaking by the Bush administration. It's a start.
We have in the three candidates, I fear, a lose-lose-lose situation. I think one of them will be a little better than the other two, but I really wish we had one out there, a Dennis Kucinich, saying, I will take the steps necessary to put this country back together, and that isn't coming.
Yeah. Well put, Dave. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter.
Enjoy your visit here. Andy in New York, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
You know, I think it would be great and wonderful if Mr. Obama actually followed through and actually upheld the Constitution against cruel and unusual punishment that this group of torture committee group came up with, also the Geneva Conventions that captured combatants.
Yeah. Isn't it cute protected? They're called the Principals Committee, like it's a group of principals that make people stay after school so they can torture them.
Right. They might have captured combatants must be protected against all acts of violence. I mean, it's a complete breach of that, and the Treaty on Torture as well. And maybe if they put John Edwards in there as the Attorney General, maybe John would get aggressive and do something. But I just don't think Obama has it in him, because he's going to be the great conciliator, to go after these guys.
My hope is, and I've expressed this, that the conciliator, the post-partisanship, that this is a campaign theme that might influence how the administration governs, but hopefully won't be controlling. I think he's going to hit the buzzsaw. If Obama gets elected and hits Washington next January, I think he'll hit the same buzzsaw that Bill Clinton did when he tried to change the gays in the military policy. And that could, I think, help him discover that it's time for more armed combat with the Republicans. Thanks for your call today, Andy. Always good to hear from you in the Big Apple. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties.
The Christians is centered on Satan.
The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader. From Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor, you name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at the...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The High Court clears the way for executions to resume.
Today's ruling by a 7-2 vote from the Supreme Court is that lethal injection is not cruel and unusual.
Pope Benedict in Washington.
God bless America.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Virginia Governor Timothy Kaine has already given the green light for more executions in his state after today's Supreme Court ruling on a Kentucky case. The High Court found that death by lethal injection, the method used by Kentucky, Virginia, and 34 other states, does not violate the Constitution. More from CBS News correspondent Wyatt Andrews.
For several months, on an unannounced basis, there's been a moratorium on lethal injections while the court reviews whether lethal injection and the method of the three-drug cocktail given on that table in states around the country is cruel and unusual punishment. This ruling, by a 7-2 vote written by the Chief Justice, is that lethal injection does not represent cruel and unusual punishment, and the way is now clear for the 36 states that use this method to once again resume executions.
Lethal injection had been challenged by two death row inmates in Kentucky. If not administered properly, critics say the condemned prisoner can suffer excruciating pain. Now this.
As a small business owner, I do have a staff. Me, myself, and I. And we do it all. Fortunately, there's Sam's Club. For 25 years, Sam's Club has been providing businesses like ours the items crucial to our success and saving us money, which we can then put right back into our business. And from April 21st to the 25th, we can go to Sam's Club and take the invoice challenge for a chance to win a $100,000 small business makeover. No purchase necessary. Visit sbtv.com for details. Bring the staff.
I'm a midnight milk drinker. I have to be when my heartburn hits. When it does, I just grab a carton and chug it.
Heartburn isn't funny. That's why Zantac is serious. Just one pill relieves your toughest heartburn all day or all night. So the suffering stops and life starts. Heartburn? Attack it. Zantac. Use as directed.
Happy birthday to you.
Led by soprano Kathleen Battle, a crowd of 13,500 at the White House sang Happy Birthday to Pope Benedict, who turned 81 today.
I'm happy to be here as a guest of all Americans. I come as a friend, a preacher of the gospel, and one with great respect for this vast pluralistic society.
After a private meeting with President Bush, Benedict rode his Popemobile through the streets of Washington, lined with cheering crowds.
Just seeing the Pope for maybe 10 seconds, sitting surrounded by bulletproof glass as he turned to his left, then to his right, always waving, had the effect of making grown people giddy.
I went to the Vatican last year and I didn't get to see the Pope, but today I did.
So he came to you.
Excellent. Yes, he did.
With perfect, you might say, infallible weather, tens of thousands who'd lined the road to see the Pope go by were left smiling. Dan Revive, CBS News on Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington.
Later, Benedict went to the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception to address the nation's Roman Catholic bishops. President Bush shifted gears on global warming today, calling for a halt to the growth of U.S. greenhouse gas emissions by 2025. Remembrance in Blacksburg, Virginia. It was a year ago today that 32 people were massacred on the Virginia Tech campus by a deranged student gunman who then took his own life. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick was there for the memorial.
Ross A. Alameddine, beloved son, brother, cousin, friend.
They read the names of the victims and spoke of the pain their families still suffer.
While what happened here 1 year ago assuredly touched all of us, the 32 families, today marks a moment in which they must confront the deepest of all losses.
Virginia Tech President Charles Steger called it a difficult year.
We remain deeply and profoundly saddened by the events of that tragic day.
The crowd then observed a moment of silence. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, on the Virginia Tech campus.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Like everyone, I have a medical history, but unlike most people's, mine is always working for me.
Aetna's personal health record provides our members with secure anytime access to their medical histories. It automatically scans test results, diagnoses, and new prescriptions and compares them to the latest medical findings.
It alerted me to important information I shared with my doctors.
We want you to know. Aetna.
The personal health record is offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company. The Aetna personal health record should not be used as the sole source of information about the member's health conditions or medical treatments. Available information on test diagnoses and prescriptions may vary by member.
Anyone who's ever wrenched on their car wants the best available parts. For starters and alternators, it's Remy. These are the same guys who kept the world running for 100 years. In Advanced Auto Parts, we're here to keep your car running for 100 more. That's why we started stocking Remy. So no matter what you've got going on under the hood, replacing a starter or swapping out an alternator, you'll be doing it with top-notch parts, period. So whatever you're working on, Advance will help you keep the wheels turning. Advance.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Next hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, if all the technical gizmos work, we're going to bring you the audio from the presidential debate, Obama and Clinton from Philadelphia, ABC Television broadcasting it, but delaying it for West Coast consumption until 8 p.m. West Coast time. Later this hour, Frank DiBernardo will join us, executive director of New Ways Ministry, talking about how gays and lesbians are welcoming Pope Benedict to these shores. But first, it's time to check in with my lawyer on our case challenging domestic wiretapping, illegal surveillance of American citizens. Legally, it might be a little stretch for me to call Carl Mayer my attorney. He has never gotten an executed client agreement, never received a retainer. But there is a class action suit that he's managing, and I am loosely a plaintiff there, challenging the interception of emails and other telecommunications here in San Francisco at the AT&T switch and perhaps other switches. Carl, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you very much. Absolutely. I'm delighted to represent you and all the other plaintiffs. We have hundreds of them across the country in this class action against the phone companies.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to check in because the media has not really made much of this, but it appears, and I'm hedging my language here a little bit because things could change, but for the moment, it appears that Republicans have stopped fighting in the House of Representatives for a FISA bill that mirrors the bad language embraced by the Senate under pressure from the president back in February. And if this status continues, then we will revert to the original FISA law and the Protect America Act, a real piece of doo-doo that was passed up against the summer recess last year, would just be a little relic in the dustbin of history.
Right. Well, right now it looks as if there has been a victory. We can't declare complete victory until President Bush is out of office and the Republicans permanently put away their efforts to lobby to create immunity here. But what has occurred actually is the Protect America Act expired because it was a temporary stopgap measure. So for now, we have gone back to the old regime, which provides that courts will supervise any efforts by the government to spy on Americans and their communications, including their communications overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So far, it has been a tremendous victory, I think mostly due to your efforts, the efforts of other public interest-minded folks around the country, lawyers at the ACLU, the Electronic Frontier Foundation. So it's been what happened was that the Senate passed this, this terrible bill that would have granted immunity to the phone companies and would have allowed this spying to continue without any requirement of a warrant. But the House hasn't gone along, and the Democrats, for the moment at least, unless they cave later on.
Yeah.
There's always the caveat, because the Democrats always find some way to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. But the Democrats, for the moment, have held strong.
Yeah, isn't it sad that we have to couch it in this kind of language? Because this is the first time that Speaker Pelosi has actually stood up to the administration and, again, for the moment, has prevailed. And yet the Democrats aren't talking about it. The media has blacked it out. And I think that this is a signal achievement, again, if it holds.
Yeah, no, it's critically important if it holds, because remember what led to all of this was revelations in the 1970s that there were many separate efforts by government to spy on Americans. There was something called Project CONUS, which was run out of the Army, and the Army had an entire program that did nothing but gather information about domestic political groups, including all of the so-called radical or leftist or progressive groups in the 1960s. They would spy on, you name it, Students for Democratic Society, Black Panthers, Civil Rights, Martin Luther King. Then there was a separate operation that the CIA ran to monitor the communications of opponents of the Nixon administration. And there was yet a third program that was run by the NSA, and that was called Operation Shamrock. And under Operation Shamrock, the NSA would actually monitor all of the telegrams and telexes of anyone who opposed the war running into or out of the United States. It was politically targeted spying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what led the outcry over that actual spying by the government led to the passage of FISA, which is the Foreign Intelligence Security Act, which grants courts oversight. So, and the point was that no longer would government agencies be able to go and spy on us as Americans without a warrant. And it was a fundamental watershed statute, and protecting that statute is critical. And that's what this litigation is about as well, because that statute imposed penalties when companies, when big business gets together with big government and they violate the privacy rights of Americans. And that's why this litigation is so important. And we just did another round of briefing in the case just days ago, making the case forthrightly that the Congress intended absolutely that a court must review any attempt to spy on Americans, because those attempts were so badly misused for political purposes in the past.
Yeah. And, Carl, your history is excellent. The only thing I would add to it is that in the Nixon era, what compounded things was the Watergate burglary, and Nixon attempted to claim that that should not be investigated by the FBI because they would rub up against national security issues. And he tried to get spooks at the CIA to back him on that cover story. And that was one of the issues that really came out in the hearings that were leading to impeachment when Nixon resigned.
Right. No, that's a terrific point. And you know, sometimes for people, for young people who don't see what applicability that has to today, the same types of things are occurring today. When the Republicans had their convention in New York City in 2004, there was an entire program of of monitoring, spying, and infiltrating the groups of citizens who were opposed to the Republican platform and were simply organizing in a peaceful way to express their First Amendment opinion. And there are reams of paper, reams of documents that came out of that litigation brought again by the ACLU that showed the great lengths to which government would go to not only keep tabs on people who have a different point of view, but to actually infiltrate their groups and try to disrupt them. And this issue of privacy is very alive today. I think it's a sleeper issue, and I wish it was front and center in the debates tonight that you're going to air. But I don't think we'll hear a whole lot about this from Senators Clinton and Obama.
Yeah. Well, I certainly hope that Stephanopoulos and ABC, Charlie Gibson, I guess, is his co-anchor for the event. I hope that they will raise it. And one thing that gives me a little optimism, Carl Mayer, is that ABC has some pride of journalism in the reports that they broke last week about who authorized the torture at Abu Ghraib, at Guantanamo Bay, and at Bagram in Afghanistan, perhaps other locations, too. But because they own that story, and in the second part of it on Friday, they got an admission from the president that he knew what the Rice Committee was up to, and he approved it. I hope that ABC, even if it's only for self-promotion, will bring that issue up and require Obama and Clinton to comment on it in the debate from Philly tonight.
Yeah, I hope so as well, and I think there's a possibility that will occur because I think the establishment media, largely because of the work that you're doing and your fellow progressive journalists and advocates around the country, the establishment media is starting slowly to pick up on these issues. In fact, I just did an article for Common Dreams a few weeks ago with my co-counsel, Bruce Affron, and we highlighted a press conference when the president had a press conference on February 28th, the CBS correspondent Bill Plant, he asked him point blank. He said that in the process of collecting information on Americans, everyone's information is vacuumed up. So he said to the president, should Americans just suck it up and tell them that when it comes to their privacy, they have to suck it up and they can't do anything about it? And the president was shocked by Plant's questioning of him, and he didn't know what to do. He stammered. He told Plant he shouldn't use that language. Imagine, suck it up. He told Plant that it's all the fault of the trial lawyers. They're behind this, and he just started ranting and raving. He started speaking about what he calls an intelligent gap. Right? It sounds like the doomsday gap from Dr. Strangelove. He keeps saying there's an intelligence gap out there. We need more intelligence, but it's yet to point to any effort where any of this electronic wizardry has done anything to make the country safer.
And in the next segment, Carl, we'll talk about Mukasey's comments here in San Francisco that have led to some deep inquiries from Chairman Conyers in the House Judiciary Committee. We're going to take a break. Carl, we're going to hang up and call you back. I think the NSA is monitoring this call. We're getting a feedback loop. So we'll see if we can get a better connection when we call you back. We'll resume with Carl in just a couple of minutes here. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Your calls are subject to interception by the National Security Agency. They're looking for keywords like impeach Bush. We'll continue. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Spring has sprung at All Class Transportation, and the All Class Transportation team is offering awesome spring savings to KRXA listeners for all of April. Call All Class Transportation at 831-582-9338 to travel in the ultimate in comfort and style. For example, a party of eight can rent an All Class Transportation luxury limo for the bargain basement price of only $55 an hour. That's right, folks. I said only $55 per hour with a one-hour minimum. All Class Transportation also has luxury SUVs and sedans for even less, and again, with a minimum time of just 1 hour. If you are looking for an airport drop-off or pickup in Monterey or San Jose at a great price, look no further than All Class Transportation. For additional information, call the All Class Transportation team at 831-582-9338 or email them at allclasstrans@att.net. Times are yard to yard. Gratuity is not included. And vehicles will be rented subject to availability. Remember, for all your transportation needs, call Marina-based All Class Transportation, TCP 22978-A at 582-9338. That's 582-9338.
Newsflash just in. Now through April 30th, every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, All Class Transportation is only $50 per hour with a one-hour minimum for an eight-passenger luxury limo. Wow, unbelievable. Call now and reserve your limo before it's too late. All Class Transportation, 582-9338.
AllEtronic.com. Get all your receipts online. These paper receipts are killing our trees. 9 million a year, it's just wrong. Everybody,
AllEtronic.com. Get all your receipts online. These paper receipts are killing our trees. 9 million a year, it's just wrong.
AllEtronic.com.
Good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. A huge problem down in southern Monterey County. Been out there since about 12:45 this afternoon. A huge grass fire. Highway 1 in Big Sur. Southbound Highway 1 has been shut down at Dolan Creek, and northbound shut down south of the Esalen Institute. There's no estimated time for those lanes to reopen. Taking them a long time to get that under control. Highway 17 as you go through the Santa Cruz Mountains. Currently checking in Stalin, accident-free. San Benito County in Piscines. Highway 25 at Topo Valley Road. An injury crash. A solo vehicle overturned. It's unknown if any lanes are blocked, but emergency crews on the scene tending to that. From Monterey, southbound 1 at Camino Aguajito, solo spin out, had the left lane blocked. That's been cleared off to the side. Tow truck on the scene. And northbound 1 before Morrissey Boulevard, injury crash with a couple of cars in the center divide. Fire department on the scene may be blocking lanes, so expect heavy traffic there. This is brought to you by Dexatrim Max. New Dexatrim Max daytime appetite control. Same great Dexatrim Max, but now with extended release action to help block hunger and boost energy and metabolism throughout the day. I'm Nate. That's traffic on KRXA.
Hello, NSA, I just called you to say I love you.
I love you
because you really listen.
Listen.
With your headphones.
Hello.
And you really listen.
That's my pal Roy Zimmerman, his Hello NSA song. Go to RoyZimmerman.com. Roy's busting out all over the place. Barry Lynn told us that Song of Roy's is featured in a new film about separation of church and state in this country that Barry and Americans United for Separation of Church and State produced. And then Scott Ritter told me yesterday that Roy Zimmerman is going to perform at an event in Los Angeles next Wednesday, where Scott is trying to raise awareness about the risk of war with Iran. So good for Roy Zimmerman. We continue now with Carl Mayer, attorney, who is representing me and others in a class action suit against the telecoms regarding the illegal interception of our telephone and email transmissions. And, Carl, I wanted to ask you about the remarkable comments that the new...
And a long-time admirer of Roy Zimmerman.
Oh, okay, yeah. And do you have him on your music on hold yet?
What's that?
You were going to put Hello NSA on.
Yes. No, we have to do that. Yes, we have to do that.
So I wanted to ask you about our latest attorney general. He's a little bit better than Alberto Gonzalez, but he came and gave a speech in San Francisco about 2 weeks ago where he was, touting the president's need for immunity for the telecoms and the bad FISA bill coming out of the Senate. And he offered an almost tearful moment where he said, you know, before 9/11, if we could have intercepted a call that came from Afghanistan, we might have been able to prevent the attacks. Now, we know that a call came in, but it actually came in from Yemen. It was, in fact, intercepted by the NSA under the old unworkable FISA law, and then they dropped the ball and didn't tell anybody about the intercept. And so they had the information. They failed to pass it along. They failed to protect us, and I'm not sure they could have. There's a lot of hindsight involved here. But he's trying to rewrite the story, and he's getting caught up in a few factual challenges, wouldn't you say, Carl?
Yeah, absolutely. The administration and the bureaucracy, not just the NSA, but the FBI dropped the ball several times. There were several warnings. There were several field agents, the most prominent being a woman named Raleigh in the Minneapolis field office of the FBI, that was consistently writing memos back to the FBI headquarters in Washington, alerting them to the fact that there were these people at a Florida flight school training just to learn how to take off and not to land. And she wanted them targeted and pinpointed and brought in for questioning. And bureaucracy back in Washington didn't do it. It was a failure of the bureaucracy. The human intelligence was there. The electronic interception under the old regime was proper, was there, and it was just a failure politically to act. So it's really part of a piece of this administration, not only giving out false facts about this, but misleading the American public about the need to immunize these phone companies and to breach our Fourth Amendment rights in order to fight terrorism. There's no factual foundation for it.
Yeah. Now, Carl, at this point, as you and I agree, the FISA reform effort is stalled. The original FISA law remains in effect in its original form. So what is the current status of the class action suits against the phone companies for this illegal eavesdropping?
Well, it is now proceeding. The issue that the Ninth Circuit is hearing, we won on behalf of the plaintiffs in the lower court in San Francisco before Judge Walker.
Right, Vaughn Walker.
That was appealed to the Ninth Circuit, and there the Ninth Circuit is getting into the legal issue of whether the executive privilege somehow would trump the statute, the FISA statute, which requires judiciary to review any spying, either domestically or in communications overseas.
And will Judge Jay Bybee be serving on the panel at the Ninth Circuit that reviews this case?
I'm not sure what the panel is going to be that's going to review the case. There's still a lot of preliminary skirmishes and motions going on.
Well, Bybee is one of the original authors of the torture policy, and he got rewarded with a lifetime appointment to the Ninth Circuit.
Yeah.
All right, Carl, I'm out of time right now, but I want to thank you for the update. Always great to talk with you.
Thank you, Peter.
Keep fighting for our constitutional rights, my friend.
Hey, you too.
All right. Coming up next, how do gays and lesbians welcome the Pope to America? We'll talk with Frank DiBernardo on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
So what does God think? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
The Dalai Lama has been here since last week, and now the Pope has arrived, which means America has an historic opportunity, an opportunity to find out what God may be thinking about us. Here we are in a presidential campaign with debates about health care, immigration, Iraq. But how do you know who's right? It's easy if you're a committed party member. If you're a party member, you know who's right before you even know why. If you're not in a party, you're trying to assess the opinions of people who are in parties, and they always have very smooth arguments, which will be fine, except that before one party can persuade you, the other party comes up with an equal but opposite argument, until by the end of whatever show you're watching, you're just as undecided, except now you've wasted an hour and your head hurts. And that's where a message from God would help. Back in the biblical day, when the Old Testament God made up his mind, a prophet would say so, and the battle would turn. When the New Testament Jesus answered a question, the rabbis were silenced. The Pope clearly has the ear of the president, who told him his speech was awesome as the crowd clapped.
Thank you, Your Holiness. Awesome speech.
But someone needs to ask, Your Holiness, does living our freedom in a spirit of mutual support mean that God supports universal health care? Does embracing a culture of justice and truth mean that God wants us to fence off Mexico? Does God think we're saving Iraq? Because it would be helpful to know. When the Pope himself says, God bless America.
God bless America.
Are we at least in the ballpark? Now this.
Email. Something people and now businesses cannot live without. New federal e-discovery laws require that certain companies retain email communication for litigation purposes or face serious fines.
Lose the risk, not your wallet.
By installing a Barracuda Message Archiver today. The Barracuda Message Archiver is a comprehensive yet affordable plug-and-play device that indexes and stores all email traffic for easy search and retrieval,
providing immediate government compliance.
Try the Barracuda Message Archiver free for 30 days. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or log on to Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Do you want some downtime? A break from work and worry without breaking the bank? At the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes in Watsonville will give you the breathing space you need. The Spa at Pajaro Dunes is now open to the general public. Spend an hour being pampered with a warm stone massage or European facial. Gather your friends together for a spa party or surprise your sweetie with a couples massage. Stay for a long, lazy weekend in a luxurious condo at the Dunes with 150 acres of beach and wetlands. You'll have your own ocean view and the price is unbeatable. Only a short drive from anywhere on the Central Coast, relief is only minutes away without the time and expense of a long trip. We'll also simplify your wedding plans. Have your ceremony, guests, and special events all in the same place. In nearby Watsonville, at the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes will make your life a little easier and a lot more enjoyable. Call 888-91-DUNES and mention KRXA to get our lowest rates. That's 888-91-DUNES.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Pope Benedict has arrived in these United States. And we're going to talk about the proper way to greet the Pope.
This is the Pope.
And how to convey to him the concerns of Catholic gays and lesbians.
I got mags that be dippy dippy dope, but the whole damn nation got the same. The only flop to the beat that's a potent, not the president with government lame. Put me on a slow moving parliamentary hacking bandwagon. You could put me little ass in the grave. Every time you want it, I'll be live, bring a date. I mean, computer when it's over, press save. So you can be the president. I'd rather be the Pope.
I never heard this song before.
Be the side effect.
and my able producer, Katrina Rill, said, you got to play this. You can be the Pope. I'd rather be the President.
Finally, finally, I'm dressed Sally right in front of your ass. I say you can be the President. I'd rather be the Pope.
Joining me now is Frank DiBernardo, Executive Director of New Ways Ministries. Frank, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks, Peter. I'm glad to be here.
Are you a fan of the purple one?
The Pope.
Of the purple one?
Yeah, Prince. I'd never.
Oh, is that who that is?
Yeah, I know.
I couldn't barely make out the song, let alone the artist. But yes, I am. A longtime fan.
Well, I've never seen him live, and I've never heard this song before, but it's perfect for the moment.
It sure is.
And how have you observed these photo ops of the president, who's a warmonger, and the Pope, who at least publicly opposes the war?
Right. I think it's very disappointing that the Pope didn't take him to task about that. Publicly and maybe he did so privately, but you know, we do need a leader who is willing to stand up to this president on the issue of the Iraq war.
And I just thought it was rank hypocrisy when John Paul II died. There was Bush, you know, in the front row at the funeral. And John Paul II had been very clear about his opposition to Bush's invasion and occupation of Iraq.
I know. It's very disappointing from a Catholic perspective when Catholic leaders oppose liberal positions, they won't meet with liberal leaders. When they oppose conservative positions, they still end up meeting with conservative leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Very disappointing.
Yeah, it is. We're talking with Francis DiBernardo, and I just have to ask what your middle initial is. I'm guessing it's X.
No. Actually, I have none.
Oh, okay.
I have none.
All the Franks that I went to Catholic school with have the middle initial X for Xavier.
Francis Xavier, that's
yeah,
right. I'm an Italian Francis. So.
Yeah. Well, I am a Jesuit product, a recovering Catholic, and I was in Rome last summer, Frank, and I just can't tell you what it's like to go to the Vatican and the issues that it brings up. It's a beautiful place with incredible art and a rich history, but as you see the opulence and the wealth, and imagine that if they observed the message of Christ and first and foremost helped the poor, that either there'd be poor people there, in the Sistine Chapel complex, or they would have sold all that stuff in order to provide for the poor and really conduct the true mission of the church. And when I think about the sex abuse scandal in this country and the way that hundreds of millions of dollars have been paid out to assuage and cover for the sinful behavior, that's what it is, of men of the cloth, again, it just brings up so many conflicting feelings. Do you have a similar experience?
I know. Yeah, I was just in Rome last month, actually, in March. And many times, as walking through St. Peter's or around the Vatican area or in any of the big churches, you do get that very sort of sick feeling that there's in the pit of your stomach that there's something wrong here, that this is not what Christ imagined his church should be. And for me, I was just reminded of the fact that we have to, as Catholics, we have to stop looking to the leaders to model what the church should be, and we have to just practice what we believe in our consciences God is calling us to do. And so it becomes incumbent upon people in the pews to start living a more simple lifestyle, to lead the leaders.
Yeah.
Because I think that's how it's going to happen. I mean, you know, even as we watch, you know, as I watch on the news today, I mean, people want the Pope not to be a simple man, but to be a celebrity, you know. And this Pope is not a celebrity in many ways, but they still want him to act as if he is one, you know. And I think that's something, you know, something we have to take responsibility for, that we have to, we have to start living we ordinary Catholics have to start living the faith maybe better than the leaders of the Catholic Church do right now.
And you think our tabloid media are hoping for a Britney Spears moment where I'll have too much sacramental wine and wreck the Pope mobile?
Well, that would be quite a photo op.
Frank, let's just dial back a few years, because Pope Benedict, his given name is Joseph Ratzinger. He was a cardinal from Germany. He, under John Paul II, ran the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, and that is the moral enforcer, the guy who helps write the encyclicals and form the public commentary of a pope. And in that role, he participated in the development of or authored a number of documents expressing doctrine that I can only characterize as deeply homophobic. I don't want to put words in your mouth. In the history of Cardinal Ratzinger, now Pope Benedict, how do you characterize his viewpoints and his moral teachings about homosexuality?
Well, you're right on target in pointing out that, you know, that in the history of the Catholic Church, the recent history, it is Cardinal Ratzinger, who became Pope Benedict XVI, who was the prime architect of a much more conservative approach to homosexuality and to gay and lesbian people than had been developing. Actually, in the United States, in the 70s and the 80s, many, many bishops and many, many Catholics were looking for ways to be more affirming and more accepting of lesbian gay people. That came to, I don't want to say a crashing halt, but there were some breaks that were put on because of what Cardinal Ratzinger did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I sometimes don't like to use the word homophobic because I think that means a fear, you know, often. But I would say that his teachings and what he wrote about gay and lesbian people and about homosexuality really reveal a terrible ignorance of what homosexuality is all about or what the lives of gay and lesbian people are all about. I think he just does not get it. I think he doesn't understand that what we're talking about when we talk about gay and lesbian relationships is love.
Mm-hmm. And you and others have called on the Pope to meet with gays and lesbians while he's here in the United States.
That's correct.
Do you have any prospect that he'll listen to this and say, oh, yeah, I've got 15 minutes on Thursday?
No, but that's why last week we had a press conference where we allowed some prominent lesbian gay Catholics to speak so that you know, at least some of his handlers or aides, you know, may get to read what gay and lesbian Catholics are thinking and feeling about their lives, their loves, and their faith, and their hope for this church,
mm-hmm.
so that at least the message will get through. You know, again, if he could meet with President Bush, you know, he certainly should be able to meet with gay and lesbian Catholics. I mean, if he's has an opposition to both groups, why meet with one leader and not the other?
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly understand your argument. We are all sinners, and to, you know, selectively say, okay, I'll meet with Bush, and I believe his sins are quite obvious. I will not move into judgment mode, but I'll just say that.
Right.
And, you know, to suggest that somehow homosexuals are unclean or spiritually not competent to meet with the Pope, that's pretty demeaning and unchristian, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'm very, it's very disappointing that, you know, I don't want to give the message that I think that gay and lesbian people are sinners. Obviously, that's not my point of view, but I think that the Pope sometimes used it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And again, when we go back to the message of Christ that the Church is founded on, you know, Christ himself was challenged several times in the gospel stories that why does this man meet with, you know, the ones who we don't like, you know, who we think of as sinners, you know. I mean, if the Pope thinks that and lesbian people are sinners, these are the people he should be meeting with.
Yeah. I want to play a little ditty for you here over the radio. This one's called Defenders of Marriage. We're talking with Frank DiBernardo on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Every time we think about same-sex marriage, it makes us sick to our guts. I mean, to people who want to commit to a stable, monogamous, lifelong relationship, what are they, nuts? It's unnatural. Now, a man should not lie with a person who is a guy. He should only lie to his wife. The Bible is clear. We're defenders of marriage in three-button suits. We'll raise our double standard and see who salutes. Defenders of marriage, defending the institution against people who want to get married.
So that's a guy named Roy Zimmerman from out here in the Bay Area. And if you go to RoyZimmerman.com, you could get a copy and download that song. And it's tongue-in-cheek, but it's very powerful in the indictment that you know, we have these people who claim that for religious reasons that marriage can only be between a man and a woman, or in Mitt Romney's language, one man and one woman. And, you know, what we see is that our society has evolved into family structures of great diversity. And to deny committed individuals the legal right to marry is, I think, unconstitutional and un-American. Now, it's interesting to see that finally California's action movie star turned governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, has said that he will not support a proposed ballot initiative that would impose a constitutional ban on same-sex marriage in this state. He's not ready to embrace same-sex marriage, but at least he is not going to join in cementing as a constitutional amendment a ban on that. I see that as a little bit of progress, but it's hard to imagine that the Catholic Church will ever even remotely consider that same-sex couples should be entitled to marry in the same way that heteros do.
Well, I think it does seem far-fetched given the present hierarchy that we have in the Church. But, you know, the Church has evolved its position on marriage over the centuries for you know, in many different ways, and it is not impossible for the Church to evolve into a position that views same-sex marriage as equal to heterosexual marriage. And right now, in the theological community, the scholars in the Church who are debating many issues, who study Church teaching and study the development of faith in the community of Catholics, you know, are saying that the Church needs to renew and its view of marriage, that it doesn't have a view of marriage that is very good for the way people are experiencing it today. You know, there's a very strong emphasis just in heterosexual marriage on procreation, you know, and that's why we have in the Catholic Church why there's a ban on birth control, artificial forms of birth control. Well, a lot of theologians are saying, you know, when we look at the advances in studying sexuality and psychology and relationships that have happened over the 20th century, you know, we have to update that aspect of the Church's teaching on sexuality.
Well, Frank, you're optimistic, aren't you?
Well, I, you know, I'm a Catholic, so I do believe in miracles.
Okay.
And I do have hope. You know, I have hope because, you know, I work for an organization called New Ways Ministry, and we work with Catholics to improve the status of lesbian gay people.
And if you're a gay Catholic, you got to have some hope.
Right.
We're going to take a break and return with Frank. If you have a comment, call me now, toll free at 888-5 Peter B, 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show is sponsored by Poly Point Press and John Gorenfeld's new book, Bad Moon Rising. It's all about Reverend Moon of South Korea and his ownership of the propaganda organ called the Washington Times. Visit the website thekingofamerica.com. There's a video there that'll knock you over. That's thekingofamerica.com. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
540. Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. A huge problem down in southern Monterey County. Been out there since about 12:45 this afternoon. A huge grass fire. Highway 1 in Big Sur. Southbound Highway 1 has been shut down at Dolan Creek, and northbound shut down south of the Esalen Institute. There's no estimated time for those lanes to reopen. Taking them a long time to get that under control. Highway 17 as you go through the Santa Cruz Mountains. Currently checking in Stalin, accident free. San Benito County in Piscines. Highway 25 at Topo Valley Road. An injury crash. A solo vehicle overturned. It's unknown if any lanes are blocked, but emergency crews on the scene tending to that. From Monterey, southbound 1 at Camino Aguajito, solo spin out, had the left lane blocked. That's been cleared off to the side. Tow truck on the scene. And northbound 1 before Morrissey Boulevard, injury crash with a couple of cars in the center divide. Fire department on the scene may be blocking lanes, so expect heavy traffic there. This is brought to you by Dexatrim Max, new Dexatrim Max daytime appetite control. Same great Dexatrim Max, but now with extended release action to help block hunger and boost energy and metabolism throughout the day. I'm Nate, that's traffic on KRXA.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia is the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me. At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and that's me, right there in the corner.
Oh, life. It's bigger than you, and you are not me. The things that I will go to, the distance in your eyes. Oh no, I've said too much. I set it up. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight. Losing my religion.
We continue now. How do gays and lesbian Catholics welcome the Pope to America? Frank DiBernardo is our guest, Executive Director of New Ways Ministry. And your website, Frank, is?
www.newwaysministry.org.
All right. People can check that out. John in Carmel Valley is calling. Welcome, John. You're on the air.
I called the Scott Dick Show yesterday about the issue of mandatory celibacy, which I would have brought up with the Pope if I could have the moment he was asked that question about what was or was done or what was still being done about the problem of the sexual scandals in the church. And he said, well, everything was being done and that it was a terrible thing, but he would be make sure it wouldn't happen again. And I thought that's nonsense, because the thing he could do most that will never do, and probably no pope in the near future will do, and that's to get rid of mandatory celibacy, which I consider, as an ex-Catholic, both barbaric and heathenish. And it is the problem not only for causing these scandals, but also think of the hoop or the bar priests have to jump over. No sex, no marriage. That's men, women, brothers, priests. And just think of what that's done in the history, the long history of the church, the numbers of men and women who decided not to join, who would have made great priests or nuns or bishops or popes even, that the church didn't have.
All right, let's get a comment.
Act on that.
Hold on, John. Frank, what's your comment on that? Do you see a linkage between the vow of celibacy and the sexual scandals?
I have to say that I agree with your speaker in that mandatory celibacy is a terrible hardship that's inflicted on the priesthood and on the church. But I don't see the linkage, I don't see the direct linkage between mandatory celibacy and the sex abuse crisis.
Well, in particular, it's the pedophilia, which is not related to straight sex or gay sex. It is an abnormality.
Well, not just that, but the problem that I see with the sex abuse crisis that exacerbated it was that the bishops and church leaders refused to take responsibility for it.
Mm-hmm.
They refused to acknowledge it as a problem early on.
Well, they covered it up and they transferred them around and
right.
covered up their pasts.
And it was, you know, to me, the problem wasn't mandatory celibacy. It was cowardice and deception on the part of the bishops.
And power, and it was also power in a fraternity, a very old all-male fraternity.
Exactly.
Fraternity.
Frank. I agree with the caller that mandatory celibacy is something that needs to be reformed in the church. It needs to. We need that issue has to be rethought.
All right, John.
Can you give me an argument? If you got a scholarly Catholic who was for celibacy, I have never heard a prelate or anyone who I could respect give a real argument as to why they should keep it and why they've had it all along. Can you?
I can't either because I disagree with the discipline of celibacy. I don't think that we need it in the church.
John, thank you very much. And Frank, just briefly, William Levada was the Archbishop of San Francisco, one of the first people elevated a cardinal by Benedict. And I believe that he may be the pipeline for informing this pope on the sex abuse scandal. And he had a terrible record here in San Francisco in dealing with these issues.
Yes, he did, and I do think that he is one of the pipelines. But you know, the other pipeline, I think, even more dangerous, is Cardinal Law.
Yeah, Bernie Law,
senior priest of a major basilica in Rome.
Yeah, Regina in Washington. We have less than a minute. Go ahead.
Thank you. Oh yes, I would like to ask your caller. I have a friend in the Bay Area. Is there a place? Does your caller know if there's a Catholic parish somewhere that she would find welcome and acceptance?
Okay, that may be a tough question for you, Frank, because you're
well,
not here.
Actually, we maintain a list, and it can be found on our website, of parishes that we call gay-friendly across the country, and there are several in the Bay Area.
Okay.
The most known one, I would say, is Most Holy Redeemer in the Castro.
There's also a Protestant church, the Metropolitan Church, that is gay-friendly, but
right.
that's not Catholic.
Right, right. There are a number of Protestant churches that would be welcoming, too.
Regina, thank you very much. And, Frank, I want to thank you. Sorry we're out of time here.
Uh-huh.
But I appreciate
you.
Your advocacy, and thank you for joining us today.
Okay, great. Thanks,
all right.
Peter.
Coming up next, we take a break for the top of the hour news, and then if it all works out, we'll bring you the audio from the Clinton-Obama debate in Philadelphia on ABC Television. Cliff Schechter will join me, the author of The Real McCain, to offer real-time commentary. It's going to be exciting. Stay tuned.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties.
The Christians is centered on Satan.
The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader. From Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor, you name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. For U.S. Catholic bishops, some straight talk from Pope Benedict about the clergy's sex abuse scandal.
Responding to the situation has not been easy. It was sometimes very badly handled.
Very badly handled is the criticism leveled by the Pope, but he also criticized American society. What does it mean to speak of child protection, he asked, when pornography and violence can be viewed in so many homes through media widely available today? In his speech at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception came at the end of the long day that started at the White House. CBS News correspondent Byron Pitts has that story.
For the faithful, a Kodak moment. More than 13,000 visitors on the South Lawn, the largest crowd ever for a White House event. The fact it was the Pope's 81st birthday, a bonus.
Happy birthday to you.
The Holy Father serenaded by the faithful and the famous. This was Pope Benedict's first visit to the White House and the first by a pontiff since John Paul II stood with President Carter in 1979.
The Pope and President Bush had a private meeting before Benedict boarded his Popemobile for a ride through the streets of Washington. All along the route, spectators jockeyed for position to take pictures of the Pope.
We got an okay photo of him, but we needed to get a better photo. It wasn't enough. There was just one. There was a person in front of us, like, waving their hand. So we got a hand off the Pope waving back at us.
The Supreme Court, in a 7-2 ruling, declared today that execution by lethal injection does not violate the Constitution's ban on cruel and unusual punishment. CBS News correspondent Wyatt Andrews reports.
The decision gives a green light for now to lethal injection executions and, in effect, restores capital punishment in America. Despite evidence that in some lethal injections the inmate has felt terrible pain, Chief Justice John Roberts wrote that while the Constitution prohibits torture and cruelty, the Constitution does not demand the avoidance of all risk of pain. The opinion immediately ends a 7-month moratorium on capital punishment, during which 18 executions in 10 states were on hold awaiting this ruling.
Virginia Governor Timothy Kaine has already lifted his moratorium on executions. British actress Hazel Court, a star of horror movies in the 1950s and 60s, has died at 82. Here she is with Vincent Price in The Mask of the Red Death.
Do you need no doors to find God? If you believe...
Believe? If you believe, my dear Francesca, you are gone.
An autobiography, Hazel Court, Horror Queen, is to be published soon. It was a horror for the oil market that the oil price rose to nearly $115 a barrel today. This is CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Dipstick.
You know what they say, if you want good advice, ask a dipstick.
That's what they say.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd rather go to a Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer when I need an oil change or anything else.
Well, I guess you want a professional opinion, huh?
Well, the dealer knows my car. You know, I'd much rather talk to them than to a drumstick.
Dipstick.
Sorry.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in, keep going.
Well, I was shopping for a new car. Which one's me? A cool convertible or an SUV? Too bad I didn't know my credit was whack, because now I'm driving off the lot in a used subcompact FREE. That spells free. CreditReport.com, baby. Saw their ads on my TV. Thought about going but was too lazy. Now instead of looking fly and rolling fat, my legs are sticking to the vinyl and my posse's getting laughed at. FREE. That spells free. CreditReport.com, baby.
Offer applies with enrollment and Triple Advantage.
In the phenomenon that is computer games, one game is truly phenomenal. CBS News correspondent Jim Taylor reports.
No monsters, no guns, no explosions, but incredibly popular, The Sims has now sold more than 100 million units. It is the world's best-selling computer game. Sims players can build entire cities or just neighborhoods, manipulating Sims characters to do whatever, like this couple in the backseat of a car. In a marketplace dominated by boys and young men they become, 60% of those who play Sims games are women, published in 60 countries and 22 languages. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
If the McCains invite you over for dinner, don't expect to be served passion fruit mousse or ahi tuna with Napa cabbage slaw. Those family recipes are featured on John McCain's website, but his campaign admits they were lifted from the Food Network by a misguided intern. A campaign spokesman says the intern, who's been reprimanded, apparently appointed Rachel Ray as the senior policy advisor in the Department of Gourmet. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
As a small business owner, I do have a staff. Me, myself, and I. And we do it all. Fortunately, there's Sam's Club. For 25 years, Sam's Club has been providing businesses like ours the items crucial to our success and saving us money, which we can then put right back into our business. And from April 21st to the 25th, we can go to Sam's Club and take the invoice challenge for a chance to win a $100,000 small business makeover. No purchase necessary. Visit sbtv.com for details. Bring the staff.
I'm a midnight milk drinker. I have to be when my heartburn hits. When it does, I just grab a carton and chug it.
Heartburn isn't funny. That's why Zantac is serious. Just one pill relieves your toughest heartburn all day or all night. So the suffering stops and life starts. Heartburn? Attack it. Zantac. Use as directed.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 6 minutes after the hour, and at this moment in Philadelphia, Senator Barack Obama and Senator Hillary Clinton are facing off in a final debate before next Tuesday's Pennsylvania primary. And here on the left coast, the debate will be broadcast at 8 p.m. local time. It will be delayed for West Coast consumption. And I'm a little frustrated because I set my TiVo up to record at this point, but I'll be home in time to catch the refeed. And we're trying diligently here to connect up with a live stream of the debate. And I am connected to the Philadelphia ABC television station. And there is a screen open that says live, the Democratic debate as voters see it. But nothing is streaming at this very moment. Cliff Schechter joins me. And if we get it all going here, the way this will work is he and I will offer you our pithy commentary over the course of this hour as the debate gets underway in Philly. And Cliff, I know you're there in the Eastern time zone. Have they actually started, or are they in the preliminaries?
They're just making the announcements right now.
Okay.
First of all, how you doing, Peter?
Hey, I'm doing okay. If I can just get all the gizmos to work here. I'm going to try clicking here. Because it says, to learn more, click here.
That's a good idea. I'd go with here.
Well, what's interesting is that in Philadelphia, they are attempting to do streaming video. There it is. It says live video. Give it to me. And viewers in that area will be able to respond. And kind of the way, you know, people get these meters in a focus group. And so they're going to be able to offer their yeses and nos and their pros and cons
Not yet, Katrina. Tell me what I should do here. I have the live streaming. Right. We're clicking on the play button in the window. Katrina's actually streaming on the other computer, so this gives us some hope. But at the moment, the screen on my computer is not producing it. And, Cliff, we've got George Stephanopoulos and Charlie Gibson presiding as the referees.
Yes, and Charlie Gibson just asked the first question. It has to do with, they fight it out to the end, the chances of being on the same ticket, if I heard correctly.
I see. Okay.
And also supporting each other, wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one place to start. The thing that I really want to hear out of this debate, and I'm hoping that ABC's sense of self-promotion will lead them to do this, Cliff, is I want them to talk about the torture policy and the reporting that ABC Television did just last week, indicating that the Principals Committee, composed of Condoleezza Rice and Donald Rumsfeld, Colin Powell, we need to mention him because he gets kind of a pass on these issues, George Tenet and John Ashcroft, they were all there meeting in the White House, and they approved, apparently, individual torture techniques.
Right, which means, the justifications, the excuses they didn't know about it are thrown aside. They, the whole, well, what is torture? What's not torture? They talked about certain techniques. They can try and hide behind whatever definitions they know it, and they should be held accountable for it because that's the way our government's supposed to work. I think I read that somewhere anyhow.
Yeah, right. So, Katrina, why don't you come over here and see if you can duplicate on my computer what you got going on yours. Here's the mouse, and drive it as far and as fast as you can, and we'll see if we can make all this work. In the meantime, if you're here listening on the Left Coast, feel free to give us a call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, and we'll see if we can work your comments into this audio soup that we're trying to create for you right now. Cliff, the other thing that I would really like to see, and I don't expect it, is an apology from Hillary Clinton for accusing Barack Obama of being elite and of, trying to make such cheesy, cheap shots off of the comment that he made and positioning herself as the champion of working people.
Well, I think that's the problem a lot of us have had, which is, fighting out, having a good debate, go for it. Talking about issues and deciding, who has the best health care plan or who has the best energy plan or these types of things, let's discuss that. But these are the types of things that play into these ridiculously false Republican talking points they've been trying to use forever, that Democrats are the elitist. Well, you've got, George Bush the 18th, whose family's been going to Yale probably since it was founded, sitting in office there, who likes to go and fish up at Kennebunkport with dear old dad, but somehow that they were able to successfully turn Al Gore and John Kerry into the elitists, and that's what bothers people like me, and I think what bothers you, which is you're just helping them with an attack they're eventually going to come out with again, because all they can do is things like that, because if they had to rely on their economic policy or their foreign policy, they would lose every single time.
Yeah, and this is, as you pointed out, it's a Republican line of attack, and it will resurface in the fall if Obama is the nominee. McCain has already indicated that. And it is one of those phony issues that may give the Clinton campaign a momentary boost, but the long-term cost to Obama and to her is measurable. Cliff, I saw a poll yesterday that was conducted after the release of the Clinton campaign commercial attacking Obama for being out of touch. And we've learned that one of the people in there is a campaign worker, another is a guy who's not registered to vote. At any rate, they're using this line of attack. And the poll showed that the only thing that really changes is that Hillary Clinton's negatives go up, particularly among Obama supporters.
And it's something else which is important to note is the number of people that trust her goes down. And, we saw what happened. That's another issue Republicans go for. They try to go after Democrats and say, you can't trust them. They took a guy that was pretty much known as a choir boy in Al Gore and made up this completely false image of him. And now you've already got, in the most recent poll, and I'm not saying this to attack Hillary Clinton. I just wish she'd cut this stuff out. because it hasn't helped their, it hasn't, in my opinion, helped their legacy. In the end, I think the poll said 39% at this point trust her. I mean, you're going to have a really hard time winning the White House when 39% of people are saying they trust you. So it just seems to be self-defeating in all ways. If she can find a way to overcome the math, which I think is very difficult, in fact, if not almost impossible, although, you know, I'm certainly no math major, against Obama in terms of delegates, then that's one thing. If you can do it through a positive campaign showing that you're the better person, do it. But in the end, the most important thing has to be that we beat McCain, and somebody who just authored a book on him, and I'll plug it, of course, The Real McCain.
Yes, you can.
A copy near you, and knows how dangerous John McCain is, who doesn't understand the economy and wants to stay in Iraq for 100 years and wants to bomb Iran, all those are quotes from his mouth, I think the choice is pretty easy.
All right, Cliff, we have arranged an audio feed here.
Around things like guns.
Oh, fantastic.
And turn that up a little bit, Katrina.
And those are incredibly important to them. And yes, what is also true is that
there goes our microphone.
Prominence in our politics. And part of the problem is that when those issues are exploited, we never get to solve the issues that people really have to get some relief on, whether it's health care or education or jobs. So this is something that I've said before. It is something that I will repeat again.
So we're hearing Barack Obama try to change the subject back to campaign issues from the change the subject effort of elitism and bitterness.
Saying that if the American people get involved and engaged, then we are going to start seeing change, and that's what makes this election unique.
He mentioned the change word. That helps.
Well, I am the granddaughter of a factory worker from Scranton who went to work in the Scranton Lace Mills when he was 11 years old, worked his entire life there, mostly six-day weeks. He was also very active in the Court Street Methodist Church, and he raised three sons and was very proud that he sent all of them to college. I don't believe my grandfather or my father or the many people whom I have had the privilege of knowing and meeting across Pennsylvania over many years cling to religion when Washington is not listening to them. I think that is a fundamental sort of misunderstanding of the role of religion and faith in times that are good and times that are bad.
I'm guessing
and I similarly don't
either.
Think that people
say again?
Cling
I'm
to
guessing you're not getting your apology.
No, nope, doesn't sound like it.
Either when they are frustrated with the government. I just don't believe that's how people live their lives. Now, that doesn't mean that people are not frustrated with the government. We have every reason to be frustrated, particularly with this administration. But I can see why people would be taken aback and offended by the remarks. And I think what's important is that we all listen to one another and we respect one another. And we understand the different decisions that people make in life because we're a stronger country because of that. And certainly the weeks that I have spent crisscrossing Pennsylvania from Erie to Lancaster County and meeting a lot of wonderful people says to me that despite whatever frustration anyone has with our government, people are resilient, they are positive, and they're ready for leadership again that will summon them to something greater than themselves, and that we will deliver on that if given a chance.
We're going to have some other questions on the same theme, so you'll be able to get back to that.
Let me pick up on this. When these
Stephanopoulos
comments from Senator
now.
Obama broke on Friday, Senator McCain's campaign immediately said that it was going to be a killer issue in November. Senator Clinton, when Bill Richardson called you to say he was endorsing Barack Obama, you told him that Senator Obama
say again?
Can't win.
I'm
not
going to
ask you
for the
conversation.
Sorry.
I know you don't want to talk about it, but a simple yes or no question. Do you think Senator Obama can beat John McCain or not?
Well, I think we have to beat John McCain, and I have every reason to believe we're going to have a Democratic president, and it's going to be either Barack or me, and we're going to make that happen. And what is important is that we understand exactly the challenges facing us in order to defeat Senator McCain. He will be a formidable candidate. There isn't any doubt about that. He has a great American story to tell. He's a man who has served our country with distinction over many years.
I agree. Why is she doing this?
Right, she's endorsing McCain again.
He's wonderful and terrific.
Does
he look really good in a Speedo, too?
In the cauldron of this campaign. But I also know, having now gone through 16 years of being on the receiving end of what the Republican Party dishes out, how important it is that we try to go after every single vote everywhere we possibly can to get to those electoral votes that we're going to need to have
the next. She's making the case for Obama.
Senator Obama can do that. Can't
yeah, exactly.
Win?
Yes, yes, yes. Now,
she finally answered the question, yes or no?
I mean, obviously, that's why I'm here. I think I am better able and better prepared in large measure because of what I've been through and the work that I've done and the results that I've produced for people and the coalition that I have put together in this campaign that Charlie referred to earlier. Obviously, I believe I would be the best president or I would not still be here standing on this stage. And I believe I'm the better and stronger candidate against Senator McCain.
All right. We've got to run to a break here. We'll continue in just a moment. Cliff Schechter is with us, providing commentary along with me. Cliff's new book is called The Real McCain. It's out for just $10 in paperback. Be sure you pick it up and share it with a conservative friend. We're going to take a quick break and return for more of the Obama-Clinton debate from Philadelphia. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
AllEachMounted.com. Get all your receipts online. These paper receipts are killing our trees. 9 million a year, it's just wrong. Everybody,
AllEachMounted.com. Get all your receipts online. These paper receipts are killing our trees. 9 million a year, it's just wrong.
AllEachMounted.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
checking traffic on KRXA. We still have that major problem in southern Monterey County, Highway 1, near the Big Sur area. Big grass fire burning out there. In fact, out of control. It's been burning since about 12:43 this afternoon. Several people apparently evacuated from the area. Southbound 1 shut down at Dolan Creek. Northbound 1 is closed south of the Esalen Institute, and there's no estimated time for those lanes to reopen. Avoid the area if you can. Southbound 17 at the Summit, we had an earlier crash with two cars. It looks like that's been cleared out of the area. River Road at Terra Drive Salinas, two-car crash, should be in the final clearing stages off to the side. And northbound 1 before Park Avenue, we had an accident with two cars initially blocking the left-hand lane. It looks like CHP is on the scene. They're clearing everything off to surface streets. Possible heavy traffic as you make your way through the area. This is brought to you by Subway $5 footlongs. Hurry into Subway because right now, for a limited time, get any freshly made mouthwatering regular footlong sub for just $5. $5 Subway. Eat fresh. I'm Nate Nick, so that's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 24 minutes after the hour. We're bringing you the audio from the presidential debate, Obama and Clinton in Philadelphia. Cliff Schechter is joining me for instant comment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Cliff's the author of the new book, The Real McCain. It's out in paperback at your local bookstore, and be sure to check it out and buy it for a friend. And Cliff, during the break, we heard Obama bow to the gun-toting crowd, and Hillary was touting her history with pro-gun folks. Very interesting for Democrats to be covering that element of vulnerabilities. Let's listen now
extensively
as Obama.
Reverend Wright is somebody who made controversial statements.
Oh, now he has to defend Jeremiah Wright again.
That we saw that offended so many Americans, and that's why I specifically said
that's
that,
right. Not talking about the issue.
These comments were objectionable. They're not comments that I believe in, and I disassociated myself with them. What I also said was the church. And the body of Reverend Wright's work over the course of 10 years were not...
Yeah, right, let's do that.
Those snippets that were shown on television. And that the church has done outstanding work in ministries on HIV/AIDS, prison ministries, providing people with the kind of comfort that we expect in our churches. And so what I think I tried to do in the speech here at the Constitution Center was speak to a broader context, which is that there is anger in the African American community that sometimes gets expressed, whether in the barber shop or in the church. That's true not just in the African American community, that's true in other communities as well. But what we have the opportunity to do is to move beyond it. And that's what I think my candidacy represents. And Senator Clinton mentioned earlier that we have to connect with people. That's exactly what we've done throughout this campaign. The reason we've attracted new people into the process, the reason we've generated so much excitement, the reason that we have been so successful in so many states across the country, bridging racial lines, bridging some of the old divisions, is because people recognize that unless we do, then we're not going to be able to deliver on the promises that people hear every 4 years, every 8 years, every 12 years. And it's my job in this campaign to try to move beyond some of those divisions, because when we are unified, there is nothing that we cannot tackle.
Senator Clinton, follow up, but let me add to that. You have said that he would not have been my pastor, and you said that you have to speak out against those kinds of remarks, and implicitly by getting up and moving, and I presume you mean out of the church. There are 8,000 members of Senator Obama's church, and we have heard the inflammatory remarks of Reverend Wright, but so too have we heard testament to many great things that he did. Do you honestly believe that 8,000 people should have gotten up and walked out of that church?
I was asked a personal question, Charlie, and I gave a personal answer. Obviously, one's choice of church and pastor is rooted in what one believes.
Cliff, Charlie didn't bother to mention the very conservative prayer group that she has been attending since 1993.
But
I have to say that...
friend of mine, Jeff Charlotte, who wrote
Pastor Wright has given his first sermon after 9/11.
To them.
Yeah, we interviewed Charlotte. He did a great job in explaining that.
The attack, which happened in my city of New York, would have been just intolerable for me. And therefore, I would have not been able to stay in the church. And maybe it's, you know, just again, a personal reflection that regardless of whatever good
is going
on, right.
I have no reason to doubt
really
that a lot
character.
Of good things.
Well, and why didn't ABC or, you know, one of the questioners here mention that there is this photograph of Reverend Wright talking to Bill Clinton at a prayer breakfast on one of the critical days in the Lewinsky episode.
Because that would mean they had the report and it would get in the way of the narrative.
Yeah.
We all
know
these remarks
to tell a story
objection.
And actually do some reporting.
I've already said that I didn't hear them because I wasn't in church that day. I didn't learn about those statements until much later. But
you did rescind the invitation to him.
But that was on something entirely different. That was on a different statement. And I think that what Senator Clinton referred to was extremely offensive to me and a lot of people. But what I should also point out is that Senator Clinton's former pastor publicly talked about how Reverend Wright was being caricatured, and that, in fact, that this is somebody who had maintained an extraordinary ministry for many years.
Sorry, we got to take a break. We'll resume with the Clinton and Obama from Philadelphia here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Cliff Schechter's with me.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there. And who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We're bringing you audio from the presidential debate in Philadelphia. It's been pretty much substance-free so far. A lot of gotcha stuff, mostly aimed at Obama. But right now, Senator Clinton is responding to a question from Charlie Gibson about her honesty and how polls report perceptions of her honesty and integrity.
Weeks, I just said some things that weren't in keeping with what I knew to be the case and what I had written about in my book. And, you know, I'm embarrassed by it. I have apologized for it. I've said it was a mistake. It is, I hope, something that you can look over. Because clearly, I am proud that I went to Bosnia. It was a war zone. General Wesley Clark is here in the audience with me as one of my...
Cliff Schechter, she's clearly fumbling a little bit trying to respond here.
You know, our soldiers were there.
Again, and I don't like playing this politics. Sorry, I don't like Obama, which is the issue, but
totally
he's playing as God's politics.
There were
back what she's pushing out, which is
potential danger.
No, I'm saying she said this stuff.
Yeah. He was worried about the safety of the situation. So I know that it is something that some people have said, wait a minute, what happened here? But I have talked about this and written about it, and then unfortunately in a few occasions I was not as accurate as I have been in the past. But I know too that being able to rely on my experience of having gone to Bosnia, gone to more than 80 countries, having represented the United States in so many different settings, gives me a tremendous advantage going into this campaign, particularly against Senator McCain.
Here we go.
So
McCain,
I will either try to get more sleep, Tom, or
go ahead, Cliff.
You know, have somebody who
give him credit for being great at foreign policy.
Reminder to me. You can go back for the past 15 months. We both have said things that, turned out not to be accurate. That happens when you're talking as much as we have talked. But, I'm very sorry that I said it. And I have said that, it just didn't jive with what I had written about and knew to be the truth.
Senator Obama, your campaign has sent out a cascade of emails just about every day questioning Senator Clinton's credibility. And you yourself have said she hasn't been fully truthful about what she would do as president. Do you believe that Senator Clinton has been fully truthful about her past?
Well, look, I think that Senator Clinton has a strong record to run on. She wouldn't be here if she didn't. I haven't commented on the issue of Bosnia.
The campaign has.
Of course. But because we're asked about it. But look, the fact of the matter is that both of us are working as hard as we can to make sure that we're delivering a message to the American people about what we would do as president. Sometimes that message is going to be imperfectly delivered because we are recorded every minute of every day. And I think Senator Clinton deserves the right to make some errors once in a while. Obviously, I'd make some as well. I think what's important is to make sure that we don't get so obsessed with gaffes that we lose sight of the fact that this is a defining moment in our history. We are going to be tackling some of the biggest issues that any president has dealt with in the last 40 years. our economy.
Cliff, every time we see Obama trying to steer it back from the fluff to the issues, and then the moderators bring it back to the gotcha stuff.
Yeah.
We are involved in two wars.
People's
incomes have not gone up, and their costs have.
Immediately, they just want to talk about this stuff again. I'd rather let the Bosnians go and all this stuff, and let's talk about the darn issues.
Yeah.
In those circumstances, for us to be obsessed with this, these kinds of errors, I think is a mistake. And that's not what our campaign has been about. What our campaign has been about is offering some specific solutions to how we move these issues forward and identifying the need to change the culture in Washington, which we haven't talked at all about, but that has blocked real reform decade after decade after decade. That, I think, is the job of the next president of the United States. That's what I intend to do. That's why I'm running.
And Senator Obama, I want to do one more question, which goes to the basic issue of electability. And it is a question raised by a voter in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, a woman by the name of Nash McCabe. Take a look.
Senator Obama, I have a question, and I want to know if you believe in the American flag. I am not questioning your patriotism, but all our service men and EMS wear the flag. I want to know why you don't.
Oh, boy.
And I noticed you put one on.
What a trivial question.
We've talked about this before, but it comes up.
Most important thing the president can do is a flag lapel thing.
Yeah.
And as you may know, it is all over the internet.
Images.
And it's something of a theme that Senators Clinton and McCain's advisors agree could give you a major vulnerability if you're the candidate in November. How do you convince Democrats that this would not be a vulnerability?
Well, look, I revere the American flag, and I would not be running for president if I did not revere this country. I would not be standing here if it wasn't for this country, and I've said this again. There's no other country in which my story is even possible. Somebody who was born to a teenage mom, raised by a single mother and grandparents from small towns in Kansas, who was able to get an education and rise to the point where I can run for the highest office in the land.
I wish he'd do a Michael Douglas moment here, don't you, Cliff? And just push right back and say that, you know, a lapel pin is not a measure of anybody's patriotism.
I agree. I've been waiting for that moment.
What I've tried
ever.
To do is to show my patriotism by how I treat veterans when I'm working in the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, by making sure that I'm speaking forcefully about how we need to bring this war in Iraq to a close, because I think it is not serving our national security well, and it's not serving our military families.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's amazing to me that we're talking about
how we need to restore
all the again, with every trick question, he tries to steer it back to meaty issues, and they keep coming back with trivial gotcha questions.
Because if your President Bush wear a flag lapel pin, it's okay to ignore Walter Reed's suffering going on there. That's much more patriotic.
Right.
And I am absolutely confident that during the general election, that when I'm in a debate with John McCain, people are not going to be questioning my patriotism. They're going to be questioning how can you make people's lives a little bit better. And let me just make one last point on this issue of the flag pin. As you noted, I wore one yesterday when a veteran handed it to me, who himself is disabled and works on behalf of disabled veterans. I have never said that I don't wear flag pins or refuse to wear flag pins. This is the kind of manufactured issue that our politics has become obsessed with, and once again distracts us from what should be my job when I'm commander-in-chief, which is going to be figuring out how we get our troops out of Iraq and how we actually make our economy better for the American people.
Senator, if you get the nomination, you'll have to beat back these distractions. I want to give Senator Clinton a chance to respond, but first, to follow up on this issue, general theme of patriotism in your relationships, a gentleman named William Ayers, he was part of the Weather Underground in the 1970s. They bombed the Pentagon, the Capitol, and other buildings. He's never apologized for that. And in fact, on 9/11, he was quoted in the New York Times saying, "I don't regret setting bombs. I feel we didn't do enough." An early organizing meeting for your state Senate campaign was held at his house, and your campaign has said you're friendly. Can you explain that that relationship for the voters and explain to Democrats why it won't be a problem?
Well, Cliff, you're right. He's going to have to apologize for his teachers next.
You wonder why this country is in the shape we're in. I see the questions and the debate.
Yeah, it's amazing. How about driver's licenses for immigrants? That'll be next.
I have not.
You better check all that stuff.
Some official endorsement from. He's not somebody who I exchange ideas from on a regular basis. And the notion that somehow, as a consequence of me knowing somebody.
Say again?
I think he once visited in France.
Yeah.
And he didn't call them tomato fries either.
Well, we're waiting for the windsurfing video.
That's right.
On me and my values doesn't make much sense, George. The fact is that I'm also friendly with Tom Coburn, one of the most conservative Republicans in the United States Senate, who during his campaign once said that it might be appropriate to apply the death penalty to those who carried out abortions. Do I need to apologize for Mr. Coburn's statements? Because I certainly don't agree with those either. So this kind of game in which anybody who I know, regardless of how flimsy the relationship is somehow somehow their ideas could be attributed to me, I think the American people are smarter than that. They're not going to suggest somehow that that is reflective of my views, because it obviously isn't.
Well, I mean, they're riding the way back machine to go back to the Weather Underground and Bill Ayers. That's just amazing.
And he's right. You know, Obama's right that people are smarter than that, but if the media simply keeps covering this garbage and people aren't allowed to get the true information and know about issues, then how can they make informed judgment?
That's Cliff Schechter with me here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Here's Senator Clinton.
Continued after 9/11 and after his reported comments, which were deeply hurtful to people in New York. And I would hope to every American, because they were published on 9/11, and he said that he was just sorry they hadn't done more. And what they did was set bombs, and in some instances, people died. So it is, you know, I think it is, again, an issue that people
go ahead, Cliff.
I just have
will
to say
be.
Something. I mean, this is outrageous. I grew up in New York City. I'm from there. My family is still there. I saw the second plane hit the World Trade Center on 9/11 from Delancey Street. I mean, to somehow imply that this idiot, for what he said, that that's going to insult me, and that makes Obama less worthy. I mean, you know, I'm trying my best to still like Hillary Clinton, but she's not doing a hell of a good job here.
Okay. Well, and Cliff, again, the question was presented, and she is seizing on it the way a Republican would. I can't describe it any other way.
They don't seem to be willing to do that. So we know that they're going to be out there full force. And, you know, I've been in this arena for a long time. I have a lot of baggage, and everybody has rummaged through it for years.
Oh,
and
great.
So therefore, I have, you know, an opportunity to come to this campaign with a very strong conviction and feeling that I will be able to withstand whatever the Republicans say.
So her baggage is immunized, his isn't.
Yep.
Is that what we get out of that?
That's exactly
it. Senator Clinton's own betting standards, I don't think she would make it. Since President Clinton pardoned or commuted the sentences of two members of the Weather Underground, which I think is a slightly more significant act than me serving on a board with somebody for actions that he did 40 years ago. Look, there is no doubt that the Republicans will attack either of us. What I've been able to display during the course of this primary is that I can take a punch. I've taken some pretty good ones from Senator Clinton. And I don't begrudge her that. That's part of what the political contest is about. I am looking forward to having a debate with John McCain, and I think every poll indicates that I am doing just as well, if not better, in pulling together the coalition that will defeat John McCain. And when it comes to November and people are going into the polling place, they're going to be asking, are we going to go through four more years of George Bush economic policies? Are we going to go through four more years of George Bush foreign policy? And
exactly.
If we
we have Democrats, and if I, as the nominee, have put forward a clear vision for how we're going to move the country forward, deal with issues like energy dependence, lower gas prices, provide health care, get our troops out of Iraq, that is a debate that I'm happy to have and a debate that I'm confident I can win.
All right, we got to run to a break, and Cliff, he just keeps wedging in the issues as they keep peppering him with stupid, distracting questions.
How dare he?
Yeah, that don't help us understand who a better candidate is. We're going to take a break and return. Cliff Schechter and I are offering you instant commentary on the presidential debate from Philadelphia. Cliff's the author of the brand new book, The Real McCain. It's out in bookshelves, bookstores, and available online right now. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA. We still have that major problem in southern Monterey County. Highway 1 near the Big Sur area. Big grass fire burning out there. In fact, out of control. It's been burning since about 12:43 this afternoon. Several people apparently evacuated from the area. Southbound 1 shut down at Dolan Creek. Northbound 1 is closed south of the Esalen Institute, and there's no estimated time for those lanes to reopen. Avoid the area if you can. Southbound 17 at the Summit. We had an earlier crash with two cars. It looks like that's been cleared out of the area. River Road at Terra Drive. Salinas, two-car crash, should be in the final clearing stages off to the side. And northbound 1 before Park Avenue, we had an accident with two cars initially blocking the left-hand lane. It looks like CHP is on the scene. They're clearing everything off to surface streets. Possible heavy traffic as you make your way through the area. This is brought to you by Subway $5 footlongs. Hurry into Subway because right now, for a limited time, get any freshly made mouthwatering regular footlong sub for just $5. $5 Subway. Eat fresh. I'm Nate Nick, so that's traffic on KRXA.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Barack Obama for America. Barack Obama for America. His wisdom, courage, and integrity will give us peace and strong prosperity. Our people need a new direction, security and health protection. With global warming creeping up on us, we need a president that we can trust. Barack Obama for America. Barack Obama for America.
America needs Barack Obama. I'm Joan Hopkins, and I wrote this song. Help us play it on radio stations across the country. Go to deltawavepress.com or call me at 831-659-2086 to help America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're bringing you audio from the presidential debate in Philadelphia between Senator Barack Obama and Senator Hillary Clinton. We're offering you some instant commentary. It's me and Cliff Schechter. Cliff's new book, The Real McCain, is out in bookstores, doing very well, like the number 5 political book at Amazon.com. It's a great read, and I recommend it to you. Cliff, there's a commercial break on the television feed right now, so we have a moment to kind of recap. We've had about 40 minutes of actual interchange with the candidates, and a substantial issue of importance to the American people is yet to be presented by the moderators.
Yeah, somebody just literally sent me a text message. I checked out a friend of mine. It was like, this may be the worst debate I've ever listened to, and I'm not kidding. I mean, I can't even fathom that they can call this a debate, that they can act like this is not an election for anything other than the student council for a seventh grade class, and that this is not an election that will determine our foreign policy, who we go to war with, economic policy, whether people will have health care. And we've talked about, you know, whether someone had a sniper fire at them, and Jeremiah Wright, and, I mean, you know, who, presumably who Barack Obama dated when he was 12 years old. I think they may have gotten in there if a third cousin twice removed once bought drugs. I mean, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I don't know how to add more derision to this than that.
Well, and it's just so insulting because we've been through this, where CNN was all about trying to create controversy over immigration policy, and the NBC outlets have been busy with Tim Russert's video gotcha game. You know, we had to hear about Dennis Kucinich and UFOs and Mike Gravel's bankruptcy, but we weren't allowed to hear those two gentlemen articulate the positions that they are offered that I think really added to the debates this year and added to the framing of the issues. But we just see them doing that on a regular basis. Let's go back to the action here.
I mean, do the candidates have a real plan to get us out of Iraq, or is it just real campaign propaganda? And, you know, it's really unclear. They keep saying we want to bring the troops back, but...
Well, here's a real question from a viewer. That's progress.
How is that going to happen?
Yeah.
Let me just add a little bit to that question, because your communications director in your campaign, Howard Wolfson, on a conference call recently was asked, is Senator Clinton going to stick to her announced plan of bringing one or two brigades out of Iraq every month, whatever the realities on the ground? And Wolfson said, I'm giving you a one-word answer so we can be clear about it. The answer is yes. So if the military commanders in Iraq came to you on day one and said, this kind of withdrawal would destabilize Iraq, it would set back all of the gains that we have made, no matter what, you're going to order those troops to come home?
Yes, I am, Charlie, and here's why. You know, thankfully, we have a system in our country of civilian control of the military. And our professional military are the best in the world. They give their best advice, and then they execute the policies of the president. I have watched this president as he has continued to change the rationale and move the goalposts when it comes to Iraq. And I am convinced that it is in America's best interest, it is in the best interest of our military, and I even believe it is in the best interest of Iraq. That upon taking office, I will ask the Secretary of Defense and the Joint Chiefs of Staff and my security advisors to immediately put together for me a plan so that I can begin to withdraw within 60 days. I will make it very clear that we will do so in a responsible and careful manner because, obviously, withdrawing troops and equipment is dangerous. I will also make it clear...
Now, Cliff, this is a pretty strong answer, and it appeals to a broad swath of Democrats based on the polls. It is elliptical, though, because she really doesn't talk about her own history of supporting this president on the war and how she has pivoted really only for the purposes of this presidential campaign.
I want to give context. She, originally supported that decision. It was a horrible decision.
Yeah. And before we go back to Senator Clinton, I just want to remind you, if you watch the debate, 8 o'clock Pacific time tonight, be sure to stay tuned at the very end because Robert Greenwald has a commercial that's being paid for by TrueMajority.org. And go to CondyMustGo.com. You can see it for yourself or go to YouTube and just enter CondyMustGo. But this is a very powerful message, and apparently these are issues that won't be raised in the debate. Maybe, but so far we don't have any indication of that.
He made, and I intend to make it.
But Senator Clinton, aren't you saying, I mean, General Petraeus was in Washington, you both were there when he testified, saying that the gains in Iraq are fragile and are reversible. Are you essentially saying, I know better than the military commanders here?
No, what I'm saying, Charlie, is that no one can predict what will happen. There are many different scenarios.
One thing I am sure is
that our staying in Iraq, our continuing to lose our men and women in uniform, having many injured, the Iraqi casualties that we are seeing as well, there is no way for us to maintain a strong position in the world. It's not only about Iraq. It is about ending the war in Iraq so that we can begin paying attention to all of the other problems we have. There isn't any doubt that Afghanistan has been neglected. It has not gotten the resources that it needs. We hear that from our military commanders responsible for that region of the world. And there are other problems that we have failed to address. So the bottom line for me is we don't know what will happen as we withdraw. We do know what will happen if we stay mired in Iraq. The Iraqi government will not accept responsibility for its own future. Our military will continue to be stretched thin, and our soldiers will be on their second, third, even their fourth deployment. And we will not be able to reassert our leadership and our moral authority in the world. And I think those are the kind of broad issues that a president has to take into account.
And Senator Obama, your campaign manager.
I agree with her.
David Platt said when he is talking.
It's not a bad answer. It's just it's a recent position.
At the most. There should be no confusion about that. So you'd give the same rock-hard pledge that no matter what the military commander said, you would give the order. Bring him home.
Because the commander-in-chief sets the mission, Charlie. That's not
Thank
the
you.
Role of the generals. And one of the things that's been interesting about the president's approach lately has been to say, well, I'm just taking cues from General Petraeus. Well, the president sets the mission.
And on that note, we're going to have to fade. We have just about 30 seconds before we get cut off the satellite and another program comes on. Cliff Schechter, I want to thank you for joining us. Our technical facilities here were a little wobbly, but I think we presented our listeners with some good content from the debate and some good sharp comments from you and me. So thank
you. Always fun joining you, Peter. Thank you.
My pleasure. And Cliff's new book is out. We've talked about it over the last year or so. So you got to pick it up and read it and make sure you share it with a conservative friend and try to keep our country on track. The Real McCain is the name of Cliff Schechter's book. Thank you, Cliff.
Thanks so much, Peter.
Talk to you again real soon. I'm Peter B. Collins. Thanks for listening to this broadcast. The podcast is available on the link from my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader. From Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor, you name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A large, enthusiastic crowd cheered the Pope as he arrived at the Washington Basilica late today. CBS News correspondent John Harchie reports.
Pope Benedict wrapped up his first full day in Washington addressing U.S. bishops, taking on a very sensitive matter for American Catholics, as he described it.
One that causes deep shame, the sexual abuse of minors.
Benedict acknowledged initially the church handled the matter of pedophile priest very badly. He urged the bishops to reach out to those he said were seriously wronged.
To foster healing, to promote reconciliation, and to reach out with loving concern.
John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
Earlier, Benedict visited the White House, where he met privately with President Bush after a record crowd of 13,500 sang happy birthday to the Pope. He turned 81 today. A ride through the streets of Washington in his Popemobile attracted many thousands more. The Supreme Court, in a 7-2 ruling, has opened the way for states to resume executing prisoners by lethal injection. CBS News correspondent Wyatt Andrews explains.
Lethal injection has, for the past several months, essentially been stayed by the Supreme Court while it reviewed whether the method of lethal injection was cruel and unusual. Today's ruling is a ruling that lethal injection is not cruel and unusual under that ban in the Eighth Amendment of the Constitution.
The ruling was on a case from Kentucky, but 35 other states use the same method. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are debating this evening, just 6 days before the Pennsylvania primary. Clinton continues to hammer Obama for his comment that people in small towns are bitter and cling to guns or religion. But CBS News Chief Washington correspondent Bob Schieffer says this could backfire.
There's no question that this criticism that she has leveled at him has sort of halted the momentum that he was building in Pennsylvania. But she's paying a price for this and these other controversies that have come up. The Washington Post has a poll out now that shows that she is now considered honest and trustworthy by only 39% of the people they polled a year ago. She was polling around 52%.
Clinton in the debate repeated her claim that she simply misspoke when she spoke.